Blog Talk Radio.
Psychic Journeyman here on Psychic Journeyman Talk Radio on Blog Talk Radio. And welcome to the show. It's great to have everybody out there who's listening, and thank you for your listening. I appreciate everybody who calls in the show. I appreciate everything that's going on, and thank you. Today we're talking about guardian angels and guardian angel letters, and we're actually going to go over the details of how to do that. So stick with us, and we also, my guest today is Robert Sharp, who has a show here on Blog Talk Radio called Byte Radio Me. He's a great guy. Robert Sharps is the founder of the Byte Radio Me Network. He has been involved with both broadcasting and internet radio since 1996. The network was created to battle destructive forces around us. It is a place where we can strive to replace hate, ignorance, and intolerance, with love, knowledge, and respect. His shows are meant to entertain and enlighten his listeners, and also that combat hate, ignorance, and intolerance. Welcome, Robert Sharp, to the show. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. You also have some other shows too that you're putting in the works. I'm not sure. Last time I read those, I thought they were still in the works. Mystical Crew Show.
I have basically three shows on the network. One is the Mystical Crew Show, which I host, and then there's the Roy Rorley Show, who Roy is a psychic and clairvoyant, and he hosts his own show. And then starting the 17th, a show called The Walk-In Cafe, that's hosted by a walk-in. Her name is Star Weldon, and she always has very people from kind of like the paranormal aspect. So those are the three shows.
Okay. So do you lean more toward those kind of shows with the psychics and the paranormal, or is it something?
Well, I've got a lot of experience with it, and most of the shows that I've done are heading in the metaphysical and holistic kind of realm. So. So yeah, that's kind of though I do have, you know, people, for example, upcoming I have a nurse coming on, and she'll be talking about her business is holistic therapies or something like that, but so it's, you know, integrated kind of therapies. So you know, everything in the holistic kind of metaphysical realm.
It sounds like it's interesting. I've been sitting with one of the things myself, and then what some of the paranormal shows. I'm pretty sure you've taken in some of them. There's one called Ghost Hunters.
Right, yes.
And then you have, what's the other one? Ghost, it's those dudes. I want to make sure, because I always get that one wrong, because everybody comes up to me and says, have you seen Ghost Hunters? And they're actually thinking about the other one, which is one of the
first. Yeah.
I think it's... Jeez, for some reason I went blank on that one. Anyway.
Well, Ghost Hunters is the most, I think, the most common and probably popular. But I like their approach in kind of being scientific and, you know, trying to be objective on things.
Mm-hmm. It is kind of interesting in itself because, I mean, so many shows are sprung up because of this, because of that one show.
Right. Yeah, well, I think, you know, once you open the door to curiosity, you know, people start to wonder, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the more shows that are out there, you know, they, again, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you start to get a mass consciousness, you know. You know,
yeah.
once you get people talking about it, then it's going to expand.
Yeah, I guess it has, because the thing with the psychics, I mean, I swear, that's like going off the freaking scale now. We got psychic lines of all kinds of stuff. You get one goes out, another one comes in, constantly recycling.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think it's just one of those people are, you know, seem to be having a lot more contact with themselves. So I think there's that in itself is kind of, you know, spurring a lot of curiosity.
Yeah, they have. I'm just saying with the situation of, do you have any, the question would be, I've actually called the psychic lines myself and actually worked for them.
Okay.
On the same note, I've also I have my own paranormal group too, where we investigate. We have a little thing where I have all intentions too. When I go into places, I start debunking and actually looking for logical reasons why those things happen. But at the same time, I'm a very strong empath at the same time. So there's a lot of times I have a tendency to, I wouldn't say turn my back on the technology, but I have to go with my feelings on things.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's always kind of a balance between the two, you know, and,
mm-hmm.
You know, just by the nature of spirit, that defies a lot of technology and measurement. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, there's very few areas where the two come in sync.
I think the other show is actually called Ghost Investigators, I think.
Okay.
Our ghost. I know it's on the Travel Channel, so.
Yeah.
And I had that information right in my head, too, and I was like, okay, there's no way I'm going to forget that, but then again, I did. So, we'll see. But Ghost Hunters has been on for a while. I guess they're going on their sixth or seventh season. And I guess the question I was asking, have you ever sat there and watched the shows and sometimes just ask yourself, okay, this is great, but is this something they're doing to get more people to watch? Not saying they're not legit. It's just that they are on television. And we know that we've seen reality shows out there that are not really reality shows because they actually edit those shows.
Absolutely. And I have no doubt that they, you know, when it comes to production, you know, that certain things are, you know, included or edited just for the effect, you know, and the tease and that kind of thing, you know. But that's you know, if anything, it opens up people's consciousness to the possibility. So, you know, even though some of it may be staged, you know, some people out there, that's the only way you're going to get through to them to even consider the possibility. So
right.
You know, they got to be entertained.
That's true, but you actually get a fine line because if you mess up, kind of the whole situation. The people you're trying to bring into the whole thing are just going to be more doubtful. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, that could backfire that way. You know, it's again, it's one of those things where I mean, if you're enlightened, where you know reality, some of those things you know may not be happening as such. You know,
right.
But still open to it. Then you know. Then take it with you know with a grain of salt, but
mm-hmm.
but I truly believe that just you know in order to get through to some people who are really stubborn,
right.
You know you have to you know there's very few ways that you can get to someone. I mean it'd be humor, you know, entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
You know you're never going to get through someone like that. You know. Open someone's eyes by going directly at them. You know what I'm saying? So.
No. I understand completely because we've had the same thing where, you know, there's different ways to approach, even in the idea of doing it, you know, not for television, but just doing it for the purpose of doing things. You know, you pick up a lot of stuff, but if you come right at them, they're going to sit there and come back. You know, it's the same. You have those techniques going forward, people have a tendency to get defensive too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So they come back, kind of thing.
So, and there's a spectrum, you know, I mean, there's probably some shows are much more heavily, you know, produced, and then there are some that are probably with, you know, is, you know, high, a little higher degree of integrity or the deep versus, you know, entertainment.
Right.
So, I mean, it's a spectrum, you know, and I think it, you know, they each have a different intended audience, so.
Mm-hmm.
I'm no. Education anyway.
Right. No, I'll just say the ideal of actually workers keep lines. That's more what I'm leaning toward. Of the, I've actually worked for those lines, so there's a lot of things on the inside that I know of that I wasn't too proud of the situation, because it's like some things you can turn into a business, but not treat them like businesses.
Yes, I agree. Well, I think it all comes from a level of integrity with what you're doing. So
right.
It could be a big business, and if you do your business with high integrity, you know, that's good, you know. And I think that, you know, regardless of size, but I'm sure there are a lot of companies that were more interested in keeping people on the line than exactly helping out the people.
Right, right. No, you're right. That's exactly what they're doing. It's like people in the line. I used to get really angry because I got, I wasn't getting in trouble or not being talked to about not being a good psychic. It was because I wasn't keeping people in the line long enough. And I was just like, okay, that's not what I'm here for. And I was like, you know, yeah, I have to do this kind of job. Yes, I can do a reading in 5 minutes. I've done it. And that's when I was doing my own business. So, you know, I'm sitting there going, I used to charge $25 for 15 minutes. So I was like, I was telling people, I was like, okay, why don't you just tell Desiree, who you keep bragging about, who was the worst psychic you've ever had, but she keeps people on the line. And
right.
I said, why don't you, don't take this wrong, people. I'm not going to mention any names, so you don't worry about that whole thing. But the one thing I got mad about, I told the lady, I said, then why don't you stop doing this? Stop advertising that you have certified psychics on this line, which you maybe do, which you can actually say that. We know that for a fact. You can say it if you have it. But I said, why don't you change the line's name to Bullshitters or Us? And then I think it might make ring more sense, okay? And she was like, she goes, excuse me? I said, no, excuse me. I said, I have to leave because I don't feel, because when you're talking about the integrity, I got to a point where I just couldn't do it anymore. Because I was there. So, I tell people all the time, yeah, I charge $100 an hour and $50 for, you know, for a half hour, and there's a lot of things I do. Whereas if you got a session with me, especially when it comes to relationship counseling or working with parents and working with their kids, that takes a lot of time. And it takes a lot of me putting things in there. So I said, but you will go to a psychiatrist and pay the same thing. But I guarantee if you pay me the same price, we won't be here for months.
Right.
We'll be here for a couple of days or maybe a couple of weeks. But I guarantee you we'll get the results a whole lot quicker because we can go deeper into the situation instead of having a guy sitting there going, I don't do
Right.
Okay. I actually do, do most of the talking, so it's one of those things that's saying, so therefore we're going to balance it out, but when it doesn't balance itself out, that's why I walked away from the psychic lines themselves. I did go down there to give it some legitimacy of saying, okay, there's some psychics on here, so why don't we sit there and put some real ones on here and, you know, get the job done.
Right.
But wow, I just couldn't deal with it because of myself, sitting there going, I can't do this because I can't really look at myself in the mirror anymore. Because I knew for a fact that the woman that I was talking to the phone, it was a 5-minute reading, and I sat there and got her on the line for 25 minutes. Yeah, it was a great conversation and a great talk,
but,
you know, and they appreciated it. I'm not saying they did, but
no,
it's just
but it wasn't necessary, and it caused, you know, them and probably something that they really probably, you know, couldn't afford, you know. But again, you know, your higher self and intention was, doing the reading, you know, in the shortest amount of time, you know, that kind of meets the goal. But
so, Robert, let's start talking about these other things and get a little insight on who you are. And, you know, you've been doing this kind of work, and it seems like you have a goal and an agenda of your own. So, let's talk about that for a minute. So.
Well, it's interesting. It's called Byte Radio Me Network. And I capitalize the words Byte and Me with the radio in the middle. And the whole idea was that I was just so tired of hearing all of the negative just being spouted. You know, I mean, the whole idea actually just came to fruition in the middle of October. So it's very new. Very new. But things fell into place, you know, and it was one of those things where once I got an idea of what I wanted, you know, things manifest. So, the goal of the network is basically to, you know, fight again, you know, just a lot of times I have people will tweet me at Byte Radio Me whenever they see any kind of example of ignorance or intolerance, you know, and we saw a lot of that during the election time.
Right.
So that was one of the things that, and I was just so tired of, you know, so I basically every time I saw something that I thought was ignorant or, you know, uneducated or, you know, just pure hate or intolerance, I just sent out a Byte Me, you know, and just pointed my attention to that because it was like, you know, there's a spiritual, I'm sure there's a spiritual way of, you know, letting somebody go with love and compassion, you know, but, and I am all for love and compassion, you know, but when it comes time to, for, you know, when people espouse hate and you don't have anybody shouting back, you know, just as loud, then the only thing that's heard is hate, you know, and that's just not right. So anyway, in my own little way, every time I see it, I just give them a Byte Me. So anyway, that's it. My shows on my network are inclusive, you know, and fun and enlightening. Anybody who's a host or any of the shows are not allowed to get into that intolerance or hate spewing. You know, it's just not allowed. So that's kind of been the idea behind, you know, behind the network.
Okay. That sounds like a good thing. I mean, you're talking about your host on those two shows you're talking about. I was just saying it would be great to have him on the show. So if you could just extend that invitation, it would be great.
Great. Yeah.
I mean, I just can't imagine that you associate yourself with people who are not talented. So.
Well, I try. You know, and the thing is that, you know, one of the beauties of the internet radio is being able to bring some people, you know, into a conversation who wouldn't normally, you know, have a voice.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that's, you know, that's what you're doing, too. I mean, just, you know, people that you bring in, you know, I'm sure you bring in a lot of people who have never done radio before.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, once, yeah, and once it's done, then, you know, you kind of open up a whole new world to people, you know, so.
Yeah, there's a couple of people I'm actually bringing on the show because I thought it would be a good thing. I told people I work with kids and work with parents who have kids that are, you know, very gifted and some people don't know how to work with their kids and sometimes it's vice versa. So it was the idea of getting into that whole thing. So we're actually having a girl who's 11 years old on our show the 19th. She's a person who, she has a lot of spirits that communicate with her through her dreams.
And
So she's also taken another step into picking things up with people. And I thought it was kind of interesting because I did a reading for her mother yesterday. And she said, can I sit in and listen, put it on speakerphone? I'm like, yeah, sure, go ahead. And I basically told her what was going to happen in her life with them adopting a child here in the future. And the little girl sat there and said, well, I dreamed that. So we got a confirmation in the same reading from her daughter. Plus, I told her the same thing. I was sitting there going, this is interesting. I said, the kids are crystal children. I don't think people understand what crystal children are in a certain sense. So I just wanted to bring that to everybody and say, okay, here's the way it is. But there's also another person I had worked with that I got really stern with her because of the message that came through to her about what she should do with her life. And it was kind of one of those things where it was kind of topping on things of her basically accepting assistance, but they were trying to get through to her that in some ways, sometimes when people get into assistance, they have a tendency to sit back and not do anything because they're comfortable. instead of utilizing their gifts. And it was one of those things of showing people that I work with kids, but when I work with kids, they're different than work with adults. They're approached in two different ways. Now, I don't think we would have this avenue with radio, I don't think you'd actually have the time to put into it to do it right.
Right.
Well, we could sit here and go, okay, if you're not comfortable with what's going on, we can stop it right here. And sometimes in situations like that, I'm just saying from what I've experienced with radio and television and that kind of stuff, sometimes they have to push for an effect, which the kids have a tendency to get caught up in that whole thing and even be a little walked on. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to introduce her to something that she will probably end up doing anyway, but just give her a little taste of it. But at the same time, if she's not comfortable with it, we want her to do that too, so we can sit there. It's like protecting the child. It's what we're trying to do in the first place. But also respect her own strengths and talents too, so she'll tell us.
Yeah. Now, see, in my opinion, I think it would be interesting show to have like a network of crystal children or, you know, indigo, the little bit older indigo children, you know. You know, I think, you know, just some of their... I mean, you see them on the news all the time. I mean, you'll see these 8-year-olds who, you know, have, you know, created a charity that's given thousands of toys. They're 8 years old, you know, and it's like, you know, where did that come from? I mean, that wasn't, you know, there wasn't enough time to teach that kind of compassion.
Exactly. And no, the idea of actually developing a network, I've heard, you know, you talk about you have your network, and, I'm actually trying to figure out how to do that. Because the thought and the idea has already been planted, and I'm just trying to go the next step and do it. And having my own little network of working with people, and exactly what you was talking about. So we've got it in the works in our head. It's just the idea of trying to, you know, take it from there.
Yeah, and a lot of people, you know, on Blog Talk, a lot of people are doing it, you know, and they're kind of like, you know, sub little. Now, one of my friends calls them, you know, your tribes. You know, it's like a tribe, you know, a group of like-minded, you know, individuals for support, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's, you know, by doing that, you know, you know, when one person visits another group, you know, all of a sudden, you know, the whole groups, you know, have openings that they wouldn't have had otherwise. So.
Oh yeah, and.
Yeah. Well, just what happens that my experience was in computers too. I mean, in programming. So I have like my website. I did my website real quick and did a lot of that stuff. So.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm just having trouble with. I'm having trouble with certain bios and pictures. How in the heck do I get the pictures in the description? They keep coming back. I did this one the other day. I downloaded a picture, put it on the freaking page in the description, and next thing I know, I have this insurance commercial. And I said, where did this come from? Somehow I downloaded an insurance commercial and put it on my own site. I'm sort of going, no, I don't want, well, maybe I could do commercials, but, you know, I was sort of going, that wasn't my intent. I was trying to put the picture in there so people see who this person is. The idea is we're having, I always have everything right in front of me, but for some reason I move them just 2 minutes before I do the thing, and I go back to the same spot and not realize I've already moved it. But that's my problem. But I have to say was, the situation was, I'll tell you right now, the girl sitting there talking about the situation, and on the 14th of January this month, which is next week, we're having Linda West on here, who has a show here on Block Talk Radio. And she also works with Angela. She has a book out called The Eight Keys. I think it's The Eight Keys.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said before, I need a bigger desk. Things keep falling off the desk onto the floor, and that's not a good thing. So,
organization is important.
So, I think it's The Eight Keys. It's a good. I mean, from what I've heard, it's a very good book. I've been, you know, basically touching on it here and there when I've got time. It's just, this thing has taken on a life of its own. I'm pretty sure you can identify with that one too, huh?
Yeah, it does take time to, you know, it does take time and effort. I think one of the nice things that, you know, I'm experiencing is that once you get that, you know, like you said, you had the inspiration for it, is to take action and do it. You know?
Because my thing is, I've seen too many parents who don't know what to do with their kids, and then vice versa. The kids are looking for some way to also get the point across too. And you got two people, well, usually three people, that are just kind of like ignoring the whole thing. So you have a child who is very gifted, is trying to figure out some things, who needs information. And maybe I've actually seen this too. I've been a physical parent who didn't know how to approach it. So, you know, it's one of those things that I've been directed and guided to do in the first place. I'm just trying to make sure that we're actually hitting on the right vehicle. Because I've been talking to everybody. And then sometimes I get a little too descriptive and say, okay, this is why we're doing this and this. Because, I mean, right now I got a rate where I charge $10 for an hour and $5 for a half hour. But it's just for people who call in the show. And I've tried to get it across to everybody saying, this is the way it is. I feel so appreciative of the people who do call in the show that I give them a special rate. Which I don't see anything wrong with that. I think it's, you know.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
You know, how many businesses have little cards, you know, the time you get your haircut, you get your 11th free.
Yeah. So I've also told some of the people out there, you know, if you refer somebody, because my co-host was saying, okay, if someone gets referred and they come to you and referrals are actually $45 for an hour and $25 for a half hour, which is still less than half of, for if you got it at regular price with me, which was $100, but that's still low, you know? So
right,
I was sitting looking at the whole thing going, okay, the reason we do that is because I want to keep that special rate for people who call on the show. And she was like, well, how are you going to tell? I said, well, if you go to my website, the first thing you're going to see is $100 for an hour and $50 for a half hour. If you don't call the show, you don't know. You don't know if to scroll down to the bottom. That's where it's at. But, it's just the idea, you know, but I told her myself, I think if you just let it go and not really put a lot of energy into it, people really deep down are good people. And they're going to honor that, and they're going to sit there and think about it. I actually had a lady the other day, she took advantage of the $10 reading, but didn't feel comfortable with it, and she gave me $60. So,
right,
you know,
right.
Well, just let people be themselves, let people be people, and things will happen. Now, if you're in Ohio, I don't see that happening quite much, but, you know... that's a prejudice on my own because I live here. But
well, I live in South Carolina. I live in South Carolina now, so I don't have anywhere to speak.
Okay. Also, I was telling everybody because people say you want to go to Colorado. Why do you love Colorado so much? I said when I was in Colorado, I do a reading for $25. They'd always say they'd always give me more, and I'm not talking about $5 more. One time I gave a reading for $20, and the lady insisted on giving me another $20, and then she insisted on giving me a Reiki session. And then she insisted on helping me out some more. I'm like,
right,
you've done enough. You're good, you know.
Right.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, that's one of the challenges, you know, particularly in the healing arts, whether it be, you know, even but you get into Reiki, you know, and you get into readings and all the whole range, you know, it's very challenging to make a living at it, you know. I mean, it's just one of those things that, you know. So, a lot of times, you know, the rewards come in different ways. So, you know, that's just. But it's not easy. Radio is not easy either. Radio is hard.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you get freaked out about certain things. I mean, yesterday I think we got one caller. But see, it was the ideal saying, okay, why did it happen the way? My switchboard is always lighting up like a freaking Christmas tree. What was going on? Well, the lady who called in took about all of our time because it was just one of those things that happened that I feel like the reason there wasn't a lot of callers coming in just because of her calling in, needing the whole time. Really, she was like, a lot of things were going on. She wanted to talk about it. She was a really good testimony to positive thinking, and it was just that's what I like about this too, because you have people come on the show and there are certain things that happen that you just know it's a powerful message to other people and that you just kind of like open the door to, but it manifested itself and it played out just perfect that you couldn't plan like that, you know.
Yeah, it does happen a lot. I mean, you know, you'll have a guest maybe scheduled, and then they'll cancel, and then lo and behold, the replacement person, you know, it's kind of like, you know, that's exactly what they needed right then, and then the people who are listening in, you know, the message that the guest says is exactly what they needed to hear, you know. So, that's the innate gratification from doing that.
Oh, heck yeah. I'm just saying with the situations I've been into, because you were sitting talking about the healing arts, because I was actually sitting there. I said, when I opened the first shop I had, I told myself, everybody who walks through that door, no matter what their situation, no matter what, I'm going to help that person. And I had one guy walk in one day, and he didn't walk in the shop. He was just walking out front. And he was walking back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. So I looked at the guy and said, do you need someone to talk to? And he's like, I ain't got no money. I said, well, I never asked you for any money. I said, do you need someone to talk to you? You know, you've been walking out here. I said, I feel like you got some issues going on and that kind of stuff. I said, I don't charge anybody for talking. So why don't you just come in and sit down and talk, we'll have some coffee, whatever, you know? And the guy sat there and said it again. I have no money. I said, I'll make it easy for you. I don't want your money. I want you to come in and sit down and talk to me. So just sit down and talk. I said, once you sit down, I said, I want you to realize that I'm not going to ask you for anything. There's not going to be a surprise later on. No, that kind of stuff. Just sit down. And so the guy sat down and opened up, started talking about his family. Didn't think he was really being in a position of helping his family, or didn't think he could do enough. And it was always one of those things of just looking at the guy and just reaffirming to him that if you've done everything you can, then you've done enough. You can't do no more than what you've got. And we talked for an hour or two. The next thing I know, like I tell everybody, this is a guy who said he had no money, okay? And so I said, you know, I'm glad I could help you out. You know, if you ever need to talk anymore, just drop by, man. Just drop in. You know, make friends all the time. So just come in and talk. He said, okay, no problem. As we're walking out the door, the guy turns around and hands me a $20 bill. And I was just like, this is what it's all about, man. And I just, yeah. people go, what did you do at that moment? I said, I felt like dancing through the streets, because it's just that it's like if you let things be the way they're going to be, they will prove themselves all the time. And things will just happen, because I used to tell everybody, I said, you sit back and just be yourself, put yourself in a service and give yourself to that service, the money will take care of itself and things will happen that you'll never see before, miracles and that kind of thing. But, you know, if you're constantly worrying and all this other stuff, you miss it. And I said, once you put yourself in a position of really loving what you do, you'll see a whole lot. The world is open to you.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you do things without expectation of a certain result, you know, all the better. Like you didn't expect to get anything from that person. You told them no, but yeah. Nonetheless, you know, it did come back.
And there's, you know, I mean, I could tell you all kinds of stories. I mean, but the one thing I noticed a lot when I was in Colorado, it just seemed like the people had this thing about they respected you for what you did. They understand you're in that position for a reason. They understood that they were looking for something, and people's paths don't cross for no reason. There's always a reason. And I'm telling you right now, it's kind of amazing when you do that kind of work. And probably if everybody would take a step back from their own work and what they're doing, they'll realize why they're there, because everybody's going to cross your path. You probably have the same similarities. You probably have the same problems. There's certain things going on, that kind of stuff, where you can actually learn from each other. Because I know for a fact I have from a lot of people, and it's like I said before, you know, to me, the world is a freaking, it's a teaching, it's a school, there's constantly something going on, you're constantly learning. But I've noticed people that are kind of ignorant to a lot of things are so caught up in their lives or caught up in their job or something where they're just kind of like, how would you put this? I've had a lot of people say, I don't have time to do anything.
Well, they're just in elementary school. You know, you might be in high school, they're in elementary school, you know, so they're looking at life whole differently than you are, so.
That is true. I forgot about that. We're all on different paths, so some people are on different levels. But it seems like sometimes you just have to introduce them to some things like you were talking about before. Some of them get it really quickly, some of them don't, some of them never get it.
Well, it's like teaching a child. You know, sometimes they get it, and boy, you know, there sometimes they don't. You know, and you know, it's always nice feeling of, you know, when they get it though.
Yeah, exactly. Because people are sitting there going, I've had people I work with, and then they come back and they go, because the one story I told everybody that got me started really, and I said, I've been doing this work for over 20 years, and the last 6 years the spiritual part kicked in, and now I've noticed since we put both of them together. That's what they were supposed to do, working together. Spirituality is the ideal of helping me understand why I do what I do. But I sat there and started working on the whole thing, and I started working with other people. And I said, try this one real quick. I said, just picture something in your mind, something that was so outrageous that you do want it, but it's so outrageous that if it did happen, it would definitely change your thinking from that point on. So I sat there and said, okay. I was thinking about a relationship, but I said, you know, something there wasn't anybody really I was interested at the time, so I wasn't going to try to do something and basically set myself up for failure because I knew exactly what I was going to do. So I sat there and said, okay, let's make it simple. So I said, I really want to have a regular cell phone. And I said, not just a regular cell phone, I want a Blue Razor. And they just come out. So I was like, okay, I want that. So I went out and found, I had this thing I saw on The Secret called a focus board. And I used to do collages all the time. Anyway, I didn't realize I was actually doing it. And I found out a lot of things that I was already doing. I found a lot of stuff just reaffirming to me that, oh, you should try this. I said, try it. I've already been doing that. So I just, it just kind of made, it kind of reinforced everything I was doing. So I really put a lot of focus into then. So I I've cut out, for some reason, my guidance, they get three pictures of everything. So I got three pictures of a Razor phone, put them on my focus board. And I said, okay, one other thing I got to do is I got to do the action, which means listen to your guidance and which way direction it takes you. So I said, okay, I'm being led to go to the internet. So I went to the internet, went onto this place, Wirefly. I'm pretty sure a lot of people have heard that one. But I went on there, found the Blue Razor phone, went through AT&T, and I said, okay. And I just basically just said, okay, I'm not going to focus on anything else but filling out this form and putting it out to the universe. So I put it out there, and it came back 10 minutes later saying, declined. So I said, okay. I didn't sit there and freak out about the whole thing, so I guess I'm not supposed to have it. No, I went the other direction. I said, you know something? I want that phone. I'd love to have that phone. So I went back in my room, looked at that focus board, looked at that Razor phone one more time, and said, if I'm meant to have this phone, I will have it before the end of the week. And I had it before the end of the week. I got an email 2 hours later saying I've been approved. And I told my friend about this thing, too. I said, this is the kicker, man. This was so great. He says, why is that? I said, I never paid a dime until the first bill came. I never paid for no activation fee. I never paid for shipping. Nothing. He said, that's impossible. I said, oh, really? Well, you want to look at my statement on my credit card? And on the thing they sent me when I got my Razor phone, it says 0000. So he was like, so I gave it to him. He looked at it. And it's funny how people look at these things and they're going, it must be a typo. I said, I don't care. The point is, it happened in play, and I got the phone. How come you can't just look at it and say, wow? No, you're still doubting the whole process. I said, that was one thing that turned my thinking around. Even after doing this work for a very long time, I was sitting there going, what can I do next? It wasn't one of those things about that was just a coincidence. I think that's just kind of like success happens. Now I'm going to put a wall in front of it, you know?
Right. Yeah, I think people, especially now, the power of manifestation is so strong that where you put your attention is what you're going to attract, So, I mean, there's a whole lot of fear, people in feeling, lack, I don't have, and every time that they say that to themselves or, they just reinforce it, you reinforce yourself, but you focused on what you wanted and did it with, you put it out that you didn't know how or where or who, but, just let it be, make it happen.
That's one reason I came up with this show today was the idea of introducing people to Guardian Angels, also introducing people, I think, to Psalms 91, which is basically says God gives angels charge over you, which puts in the more energy into the idea of Guardian Angels, but also the ideal of putting into play that there's more protection around you because of that. Because some of people, I'm not trying to be mean or nothing, but some people need more guidance. So some people have three guardian angels because they need one to grab either arm and then one to push. So, the situation going on. But see, the point is, it says in the Bible too that God knows before you even say anything. So therefore, the reason you have three guardian angels because He knew you were going to be a pain in the butt before you even got up and got here to be with all, So, but what it is, it's like, that's why I always look at him as a father, of always knowing ahead of time, and we've all been in the same situation before if we have kids, that we know certain things are going to happen. So we have a tendency to put things in play so they don't happen. So all of a sudden, this thing came to light, because I've actually done this myself. I have a lot of people who are having problems with manifestation and trying to focus and do that kind of thing. So the idea behind it, the guardian angel letter, is basically centering energy again, but also working with your angels, which also has a tendency to open up more doors for you to communicate with more, to even realize what's around you. And it's also a really strong door for everybody to actually go inwards to find themselves. So the thing behind guardian angel letters is the idea, you take it, you listen to yourself. you're going to hear something, because I hear Sally all the time, and that's one of my guardian angels. So what I do is, yeah, Sally. So with you, I pick up the male name Roger. So Roger, you have Roger, Teresa, and Selenium. I have no idea what that name means, but that's Selenium. She's a very powerful. She was a very. How do I put this? She's a very powerful woman.
Well, I have had. Let me. That's interesting because let me tell you, I have had a reoccurring dream since I was a child, and in that dream, I know that basically that they were my guides. And what's mm-hmm. interesting is, in the dream, I would fly. You know, I would just take off running and flap the arms, and there I would go. I really loved my flying dreams, but I would always fly to this one area, this one, basically a field of yellow daisies, and in the field were three people, well, three entities. Well, I mean, there was one that was kind of in the forefront, that was a gentleman, that was masculine. There was one a little bit further back. And then there was one that kind of way in the back, and I just didn't know what it was. But it was kind of like the closer that they were to me was, it was kind of like their charge. The closer to me, the more physical. You know, they kind of had charge of the more physical. Like, right. The guy that was closest, he had to deal with mm-hmm. all of my real physical stuff. You know, the one that was farthest had to deal with my really higher self, soul stuff. So, but that was interesting because there were three, you know, and definitely a masculine, feminine, and I don't know what.
She comes out to me like she's a very strong, she's your main guide. She's the one who's in charge, which if you sit there and really pick on the energy, you'll understand why. And then your other two are actually your guardian angels. But you do have four other guys that work with her. The reason you really don't hear a lot from them because they go through her. Now, I feel like in the next year, that's going to change, where you're actually going to start picking up three besides her. Okay?
Ah.
You seem to have problems with math. I'll get one working with you on that one as well. Does that make sense to you?
With math?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm okay. Direction, if you had said direction, I get a lot. I am directionally dysfunctional or geographically challenged.
That's just the idea of smoothness, which is what you like, and that does not go smoothly. So it might be the ideal direction, but the ideal still to you, I keep getting the word smooth. So
okay,
but it's one of those things that once you connect with them, it's almost like they start really getting your attention more. Maybe it's just the idea you from taking notice that you're actually paying attention to more. It's coming through because I've always been in my situation. They've always been talking. It's always when I'm not listening. So just because I'm not, you know, not listening doesn't mean they're not talking. They communicate all the time. It's just the idea that when you do that, people don't understand there is a thing called free will. And when you have a tendency to turn your back a certain way on the situation, they really can't interfere with that unless you ask them to come back in.
Right.
The guardian was really good for that too, where you can sit there and sit down. And go, okay, you're picking up a name, fine, but you can still use the word guardian angel and say guardian angels. I usually say guardian angels, okay? And I just say guardian angels, dear guardian angels. And then in the context of the letter, you write what you really want, either a change in or a different outcome, just are focusing on the outcome that you want. It's a great way to focus. And just get really detailed, get really honest, and just put it out there on a piece of paper. And then what you do at the end of the letter, you just kind of say, sincerely, or thank you in advance, sincerely, and then you sign your name. And then this is the one that freaks people out. Then you burn it. And they're like, so well, think about this, guys. Smoke, it does exist. It goes to a certain place. Wind, air, all those things exist. But in some ways, you might look at them, they might exist on a different plane. So angels and guides and those kind of things, they do. So it's like a way of delivering the letter, but see, it's also a technique. And we heard this yesterday. Was it yesterday? We had this lady on here, T Love, who was talking about energy, and she said we saw it focusing on manifestation too. And she said what she used to do. They had a study of people. They would sit there and focus on their manifestation, And then they would try to let it go. And they always had trouble with the manifestations. They happened, but some of them didn't happen, so they were trying to figure out why, which was because they couldn't detach. So, but then the second group did the same thing, except for one thing. After each time they would focus on their manifestation, they were told to go wash their hands. Okay, so when they were washing their hands, it was a way of releasing.
Right.
Like you're washing it and letting it go down the drain, like you're delivering the letter. And that's what this here is, basically, is delivering the letter to the guardian angels and letting it go. And I've always told people, I said, it's amazing, too, because if you let it go, all right, if you just let it go, you'll notice that when you burn the letter, it also tells you there's signs and everything. If you burn the letter and it takes you about 3 or 4 times to burn that letter, then I think you should rethink what you wrote. But if you sit there and light the cigarette and it goes up like a flame, goes up like a
right.
Then you've got to get the letter. But I've also noticed in this situation when I do these things, I tell people, I said, you should be very cautious when you do these things because you will get an answer. So be prepared for the answer that you're going to ask for. So if you're asking for my particular situation was, I want to know how this girl really feels and what she really wants to do. Now I'm thinking, she wants to be in a relationship, wants me, and I feel this whole thing. Well, it didn't turn out that way. I actually found she had a boyfriend, and the reason she was always in a good mood was because of him. But see, I got an answer very quickly on the whole thing and found out all this stuff. I tell people, you want that to happen. They go, why would you want to deal with all that? To me, pain is a direction. It says, okay, that didn't work. So look at it realistically and say, okay, it didn't work. That person's not for me. Don't go into the... I've talked to so many women out there who do this. Like, it's a challenge. It's not a challenge. Everything can be so easy if you quit making it so difficult. And just look at the situation and go, you're looking for a sign? That was the biggest one you could ever have. I mean, what did he have to do, drive you over with his girlfriend?
Right. Yeah, I think, you know, the whole idea of releasing and letting go of, you know, of the outcome is key, because it's just you have no idea exactly how to achieve what you ask for, you know, mm-hmm. And it may take the moving of mountains angelically, you know, to make it happen. Mm-hmm. But you know, you're certainly not going to see it exactly how to do it. So I think, the release, you know, whether it be wash your hands, burn the list, or your letter, you know, anything mm-hmm. that you can do to demonstrate release.
And that's what it was. So what they were saying was that's the one thing to do is the idea of trying to come up with different ways with people who feel comfortable with certain releasements. Because we used to have this one technique, too, where you would sit down and write all the things you didn't like, all the things you didn't want. And then once you write the list down, you burn the list. And so, okay, we don't need to think about those anymore. Now we're going to focus on the solutions, and we're going to focus on positive outcomes. And it was just a way, that was one releasement for them to let go of the bad so they could actually work on the good. Because people think they have to hang on to everything in order to get a good outcome, which is not the truth. The truth is, if you focus on the positive, the negative will be pushed out in favor of the good. If you can't do it, there's no reason to beat up on yourself either. It's just like, you know, I know a lot of, even me personally, have gone through things where, you know, we tried other things, we tried other people the way they do things. It wasn't until we came to a conclusion on how to do it ourselves, what we felt was a good releasement. And then everything seemed to play out, you know?
Right. And I think it's really so individual, you know. Some people, I mean, it might be cultural, depending on where, you know, where you grew up, you know. It may be just, you know, kind of in your family, certain things that you do. But,
uh-huh.
You know, any kind of, you know, those kind of ritual, you know, really help focus, I think, you know, and kind of direct the intention of what you want.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, most definitely. You know, you look at the situation, it's just, it's an individual basis. I mean, sure, you can sit there and say it works for everybody, but each one of those people, even with the same techniques, they all do it in a different way.
Right. Now, I had an interesting, my very first, you know, other than the dreams, my very first reading that kind of tapped into guides was
mm-hmm.
probably about 10 years ago. I was at an expo, a whole life expo. I was at the end of the expo. I was in the lobby chatting with psychics that were from England. And there were also some from Texas. Well, one from Texas did aura readings, you know, on aura pictures, you know.
Right.
So I had, she asked me if I wanted one, and I usually don't get readings. I mean, I just, you know, I mean, it happens, but I, you know, it's not one thing that I, you know, actively do, you know, because I have a good circle of of friends who are very intuitive that are very happy to provide input. But but at that time I thought, okay, well, I went down and that my picture at that time was, it was in November, and it was the top half was red and the bottom half was green completely. I mean, it was like, you know, so I mean, I had all of that, you know, after the red. But anyway, the woman started talking about, she also, oh, and just before I had went down there, I felt like I had a headband on. So I took my hand and I rubbed it over my forehead, like to remove it. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I did that, I thought, well, that was the most stupid thing in my life. I have never worn a headband. So what, you know, to me it was odd, you know. So, but anyway, this woman starts to do a reading, and the very first thing she says is that, you know, she also said I had three guides, and that they were saying that, you know, they talk to me, but I don't listen. And when I don't listen, you know, and just tell them to loosen the band. And I thought, oh, wow. Yeah, so that was kind of like the aha moment of, you know, where I had just had something happen that just made no sense at all. Obviously, what my guides knew in short order, I was going to understand, you know, what they were saying. So since then, I listen a little bit more, and you know, the band doesn't get as tight as...
Yeah, that, I mean, I would honestly say, it's been lately with me, it's been a lot of readings are basically the angel is talking to them saying, you need to listen, because we're constantly saying this and that and the other. We also seen you when you went down that road and hit that guy in the back end, and if you would have listened, you would never been there, you know, things like that. And people look at you and go, how'd you know that? I'm like, well, I was told by your angels who were there. So, you know,
right.
Kind of things with people going, okay, I'm thinking about it. You can still see a little bit of doubt in their eyes. And even on the phone, when people say, you can see a doubt in my eyes. That's, well, never mind. Don't want to
right.
Spook you like I'm there. I'm just saying, you know, certain things you do pick up with certain people, and it's just getting more spontaneous with the things that I do. But it's also working and working and working and working and doing all the stuff, too. You're going to get better and better and better. It's kind of funny when people look at it, so when you're doing psychic work, you keep getting better and better. I said, well, didn't you do in your profession? The more you did, the more comfortable you got with it.
Oh, absolutely.
So I was like,
it's like exercising a muscle, you know? I mean, you know, practice.
So I want to sit there and take a couple calls, and if you didn't mind.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Okay, because we've actually been on almost an hour.
Wow. Well, it's been very fun.
I've had some people call in here, and so I can only stay on for an hour because they didn't think they could do more than an hour. Next thing, we're sitting there, and I had the lady, Jacqueline, was Angel Whisperer on earlier. Has a show on her Block Talk Radio. We're sitting there talking. I said, I thought she said you had to go about an hour. I said, we're going into the second hour already. And she's like, really? This has been fun. I said, yeah, we try to make it, you know, as pleasurable as possible. And people have a tendency to lose track of time, so I've caught myself reminding them. Now, didn't you say you had to go? You know, those kind of things. But I love coming here as much as possible. I love having people on the show. It's just great to sit here and, you know, I love doing readings. So don't get me wrong out there, guys. I love doing readings, but I also love introducing other people to my audience as much as anything else. Because I just think that
absolutely.
A learning situation, and I just feel like they're going to learn a lot. And with the situations, it's just been a pleasure having you here, and it's just the idea of the situation. So, I mean, if you can stick around longer than an hour, that's great. But I know you have obligations like the rest of us do. So,
well, I can stick around for a little bit while, you know, while longer if you want. You know,
okay.
So
if anybody has a question to ask or anything like that, you have no problem answering any questions?
Absolutely not. No problem whatsoever.
If anybody wants to get hold of you with your show, maybe they got a show idea or something like that. Is there any chance you'd give them some information and then just give out your contact information?
Sure. My website is www.biteradio.com. www.mystical-crew.me. And then on that site, I have a link to the network calendar. And right now I have January and February up, so I've got all of January booked and half of February, so you can kind of look ahead. And each of the topics is a link to the show page. So,
okay.
You know, if you find something interesting. And then also my office number, if anybody ever wanted to talk about the network or a show or a guest, my office number is 843-808-0777.
Okay. Plus, I want to throw out there, too, everybody, I do personal readings myself, and if you want to contact me, my contact information is, my phone number is 937-838-6337. The number again is 937-838-6337, or else you can contact me through my website, which is Psychic Journeyman. Let me rephrase that. psychic-journeyman.yolasite.com. Right now we're having a special until the end of February now. I've extended it until the end of February. Which is, if you call for the show, it's $10 for a half hour and $5 for, $10 for a half hour, no, $10 for an hour and $5 for a half hour. And if you're referred to somebody to the show, then it's $45 for an hour and $25 for a half hour. Or if you just go to my website, it's actually $100 for an hour and $50 for a half hour. My co-host is not with us today, and I hope she's doing fine because I have not really heard anything from her. I hope she's okay. If you want to contact her, her number is, I got it right here, it's 818-200-7431. The number again is 818-200-7431. Or you can also contact her through her website, which is adoredangel.yolasite.com. So give us a call. Be glad to work with you. Right now I'm actually focusing on this year of helping children and their parents, especially very gifted children, crystal children, indigo children, who are, if they're having problems or maybe the parents don't have the tools to work with their child, to contact me too and to get in there. And just the one thing I tell everybody is just give me a call. I have prices set, but they're not written in stone. So give me a call. I'm pretty sure we can work out something. So just give me a call because I really want to work and I really want to get that information out to you and I really want to work with this family. So I don't want the money to stand in the way. So, of course, I charge what I charge, but I'm also a person who's very open-minded. So don't hesitate to call me, because if you don't call me, you'll never know. So on that note, let's go answer some calls and answer some questions. So let's go. I love these switchboards because they have a tendency to jump a lot.
Isn't that frustrating?
Yeah, because I actually hit this one button 3,000 times, and I think maybe 3,001 to do it.
So all of you guests out there, this is coming from another host. There are technical issues that sometimes make it hard to work.
Okay, well, area code 858. And I'm not sure if you wanted to ask a question or nothing, or if you're just listening.
Okay.
Huh? Hello? Are you there? Well, hello. I'm not sure about the situation. I wasn't sure someone said about something about holding their hand up. Oh, she hung up. I think I'll take that as she just wanted to listen.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm kind of hesitant to answer to that. Okay. If I click on your number, guys, and you're listening in, and next thing you're on the air, it's just the ideal feeling things out right now because the switchboard has a tendency to jump. So a lot of people who have hands up, next thing you know, you don't. So, let's find out. We're not trying to put you on the spot. We're really not. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, how are you?
Hey, what's up, everybody?
How you doing? I'm not sure you want to be on the air and talk to and ask a question or not, but
I want to ask a question.
Okay, the reason I said that because I'm not sure about, aren't you supposed to have a hand up or something? I've been doing this for a while, but still, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Some people don't. So, but you do want to ask questions. So go right ahead. Welcome to the
All
show.
All right.
What's your name?
Hi, y'all. It's Donnie. It's Mary, Donnie.
It's Mary, Donnie. That's a very weird name.
Every time I listen to you, you always, I don't know, I feel so peaceful inside. I don't know. It's like you give me peace of mind every time. And that's why I like to listen to your show, too. And when I found you, I mean, I think highly of you did that way. I think you're a pretty good guy, and you lift my spirits up. And I'm at peace inside of me. I don't know why. I mean, God is good, and I know He uses you in many ways. And I think you're a good person, and you're doing good out there for whoever you can do good for, you know.
Well, thank you. I don't know how to take it. Sometimes you have a tendency to put me on the spot going, oh, I don't know what to say. But thank you. Appreciate it. So you said you have a couple questions.
I have one particular. What do you see me 3 months from now?
Okay, so one more time because you faded out for a minute.
Where do you see me 3 months from now in my health?
Where do I see you 3 months from now with your health?
Yes.
Well, the one thing I pick up on the most, the quickest, is that you need to work on that too as well. So you have to believe it, because I feel like you can change the way your health is. Well, basically, I feel like you can do it right now. I feel like you're also a very strong, healing person yourself. You do a lot of things for people too as well. When I say things, it's like you say certain things that have a tendency to have a healing effect on people as well. So, you know, you need to trust yourself in that as well. There are some people around you who try to do you in. But see, it's not the ideal they're trying to do you in. They find you a threat because you remind them of their own lives, of their own shortcomings, which is that doesn't mean you're a bad person. You're just hoping those people would look at it for what it is, which means if you're noticing your shortcomings, that means you have a lot more learning to do yourself to bring you up to where you think you should be at. But some people just jump right on the freaking bandwagon and go, I'm a bad person. I should be doing these things. I should be doing this. I should be doing that. And it's just basically getting caught up in the freaking everyday life of thinking we have to do things, and then we jump right into it, not really putting a lot of thought into what we really want to do, not realizing that maybe somewhere along the line, the key to my financial problems is me doing what I'm supposed to do instead of doing what everybody keeps telling me I should do. Okay? And with the situation here, you have a lot of bad influence around you on certain parts because of keep reaffirming in some ways. You believe it very strongly that you can heal yourself, but there are other people around you who have a tendency to go through things that really pull on you. So it has a tendency to distract you from your own focus. So it's just one of those things of learning, and I just, what I'm saying before, it's just the idea of you trusting and believing that who you are, then those things won't bother you as much as they used to do before. It's still a thing that's progressing with you, okay? And
yes,
you're learning as much as anybody else. But that warm feeling you have inside is just the idea of finding someone else who believes in what you believe, which actually helps you focus more on you and, you know, really get into who you really are and not being – because you have a tendency to apologize for that too. So you should stop that. You are who you are. It was like I was talking to you before about when I was talking about gay people and that kind of stuff. What I'm saying to you is, over the years, I used to have a certain feeling and opinion about those things, okay? But then I've been introduced to a lot of people that have changed my mind. So I'm going through a progression as well. So I wouldn't do it, but at the same time, I understand, okay? There are certain people, there are certain ways. We're all different, and that's all it is. It's just people being different and going down their own paths. So I can say what I want to say, but it's just more or less me getting back to me saying, I wouldn't do it. But carry on, okay? And that's you getting back to who you are and saying you are who you are. It's a very strong personality and very strong characteristics. And, you know, people should appreciate that. They shouldn't look at the surface because you're a whole lot deeper than that. Does that make sense to you? Are you there?
Whoop.
Mary. Mary. Okay. I'm trying to... maybe she's just... Hello? Are you there?
Maybe she's taking your advice and starting already.
Yeah. Okay. Are you there? Mary. Well, I'm just saying the number's still there, so I'm just trying to figure out what's going on. Can you hear me? Mary? Well, we can sit here and wait till you come back because there's nobody else on the line. But if you want to call on the show, I'd love to hear from you and I'd love to answer some questions. If you have any psychic questions or if you want to give you a little psychic greeting, just call us here at 646-721-9031.
Well, Donnie.
Yes.
I want to, you know, a couple times tonight we've talked about positive, you know, the power of positive thinking.
Right.
And one of the things I'm doing, an internet workshop that I'm doing, and it's called Don't Say What You Mean, Say Something Better. And the whole idea, you know, is to basically shift that negative thought to the positive, you know, and kind of reprogramming yourself, you know, with kind of a better. Anyway, today I came up with my mantra for the year.
Okay.
It's called P.S. the B.S.
Okay.
You know, positive shift, the, you know, all the negative. So
there you go.
You know, I think anytime anybody hears anything negative, you know, just tack on a little P.S. and get the right perspective.
There you go. yeah, that's a good one for the year.
Yes.
I think we should all sit here and start thinking of the same way, too. I'm going to sit here and say, Mary, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
There we go.
Okay, because I thought there I might have said something wrong because you disappeared.
No, you never say anything wrong. I mean, people say things. Nobody's perfect. That's all I can say.
What's that, Mary? I'm sorry.
I said people say things, but nobody's perfect. That's all I can say, you know. But the main thing is to have peace of mind and be able to hold the same level with that person and respecting the person and accepting them of who they are and what they are in life today, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And try the best out of it.
Well, it's like one of those things, too. If people don't understand that you're here for a reason, and if you wasn't here, I guess the universe would be off balance. Because, I mean, people think it's kind of crazy to think that way, but it's amazing when people do pass on, the world at that moment is a little bit unbalanced because they're still dealing with that loss, but not realizing that person's moved on to somewhere else. But still, that's a missing piece. And I think that's why the idea of doing this kind of work, to help people understand that the idea of using the word loss is really dramatic. Of realizing that you still are connected with that person and there are certain things that still go on. You can still communicate with them. They can still communicate with you. It's just, that's what I was talking about before with people, with angels and guides, and we're opening your mind up to these things that they exist, and the ideal of your parents and siblings and friends and that kind of stuff who have actually moved on. They're probably in the same place. So it's the ideal of not just being connected with your angels and guides, but I've also noticed people who do that seem to have more family coming in. And then we find out later on the family's always been there. It's just that they came to a point where they're actually listening, not just to their angels and guides, but those other people are coming through as well. So, you know, I've had some messages come through pretty soon too about people saying, you know, you need to snap out of it and certain look at things and take advantage of all your talents. Because I've done that too with people too. I have all these gifts. Which one should I use? And I said, what do you mean, which one should you use? I said, if you put yourself what you're destined to do, I have a funny feeling you'll be using all of them. Because this has been a progression for me, too, to find out the more I do it, the more I find out about myself. But especially through other people.
Donnie.
Yes?
Where do you see me with Dollar General, the store that I work with?
Well, that's what I pick up on. I always see you coming out on top. So you might not be working there, but you're definitely going to get compensated for what's happening, what's going on.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
There's kind of something right now, and I don't even understand any of what I'm going through their system. They're just shifting me this way, shifting me that way through phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
It's all through phone calls. I've never seen anything in person.
Right.
But a couple of times when I first met the DM, two, three DMs and one different regional manager. It's so weird. I'm just trusting in God and just I'm not understanding what they're pushing me through. because I haven't been even that long with that company, but I was done so wrong. Nobody deserves what I went through.
That's true, too. But like I was saying before, one thing to let go of is what they did to you. Like nothing ever happens. So you can, okay. That your energy is focused on that, because we want to focus on the outcome here, because I feel like there's a really good outcome. And you need to focus on that, because, you know, like, look at the situation of them. We already know. They know. We're just trying to get them to say, okay, thank you. Here's your money. Have a good day. And people think that's kind of crazy, man, but you can actually focus on those things that are happening. I've seen it too many times where people have a tendency to stay firm, stay committed, stay faithful in what they're actually focusing on. And it seems like those people always have things working out in their favor. You know, and I said, and I always, you know, it's like there's a fine line, because I also see people out there, as I call them, the holy roller, that kind of stuff, and they're like, how come things don't happen good for me? I said, because I think some, you know, maybe it's not the idea of what you're doing wrong, it's something you need to look at, because you're already, just by asking the question, should tell you that you're doing something wrong, because you're trying to find it, what it is. And it might be something you do automatically, because of the way you're raised, the way you're taken, you know, brought up, that kind of thing. So you're doing these things. So that's what I'm saying here. You're doing things that you've been taught how to do, which is bitching. And I'm not trying to be in a mean way. I'm just saying I've got caught up in it too, where, you know, we get caught up in the gossip. We start talking to our friends. And that's the problem. When you talk to your friends, they talk to their friends. They're reaffirming it on a deep level, and you don't want to do that. What you want to do is say, I would just start talking to my friends. I don't want to talk about that part. I want to talk about I'm going to have a great outcome on this whole thing, and they're going to pay exactly what they have to pay, because they, you know, it's just the idea, I deserve this, and say, I would love it when it comes down to the point, and saying, when it's like, picture yourself getting a check, you know, even if it's just a Dollar General sign with arms and legs, picture that handing you a check, and don't be surprised if it doesn't happen, okay? I'm not saying you're going to have a general dollar sign come to your house and hand you a check. I'm just saying, by using those affirmations, what you're saying is Dollar General is going to give me what I deserve, because that's how you refer to it. You do not refer to people that you work with. You refer to Dollar General. So use that to your advantage, and use a visualization to do that. Imagination is a very powerful thing. That's where it starts. But take that and do that every day. Every time you catch yourself talking in a gossipy way, change it and start focusing on that picture. At least 15 minutes in the morning, try that too as well. You're going to see some differences. Even if they don't hand you a check, it could still come out in a different way where they're compensating you in some way. Because, I mean, we used this story about working radio, and I was telling everybody I always wanted to do radio for like the last 2-3 years. Okay? Realistically, I am doing radio. Okay? That's a manifestation that actually happened. And I from that one manifestation, I looked at a lot more that came into play too. And it's like, I get what I really need, okay? But it still can be classified as radio, which it is. It's just on a different level, okay? So with the situation here, it's like we were talking about before with Robert, you know, things come in many, many ways of compensation. They always will. And you also have to realize, while I was sitting there talking about the rooting, doing certain meditations and that kind of stuff, rooting yourself. My meditation is I picture myself sitting at the edge of the bed, and roots coming out of my feet going into the ground. But I also imagine those roots touching other roots, and those touching other roots, to the point where we're all connected. Okay?
Yes, yes.
And we are all aware of that connection. So therefore, having that connection with each other, we work with each other. That means more clients come to me that I work with than working with me. Because every time I've been in any kind of situation, I've even doing readings. You got to look at the situation. You're opening up to compensation, but you're also opening yourself up to a person who's getting the information. So if you really look at it, it's a win-win situation for both parties. One person's getting compensated, but the other one's getting the information they want. So it's a cycle. Everything in this life, if you really look at it as a cycle, you understand how things work. And then you'll automatically keep doing that, because that's how it works. And I guarantee, if you've ever looked at any kind of manifestation that's ever happened in your life, the one thing you should look at, if it's actually the real thing and it's going in the right direction, both parties will win. It will always be a win-win situation. Even the process of me getting a ride at the bus stop, you know, I'm getting a ride from the bus stop to my home. The person who picked me up also knew I was a psychic, and she wanted me to answer some questions for her, and she took me home. So you see, the situation was, she got her information, I got my ride home. It was fantastic, because that used to happen all the time. I even started mumbling things under my breath. People go, "What'd you say?" I was like, "Never mind. It's just a, it's one of those long stories." But geez, it happens every freaking time. I was just kind of like, you know, still amazed how this thing happens every time it happens. So, and that's how I always say the spiritual lifestyle is. The more the spiritual you get, the more you're amazed. But that amazement has a tendency to put you in a state in your mind. You're happy all the time. When you have down times, you always seem to find something positive with that day. And, you know, that's what it's all about. I found things when I was, when I first moved to Colorado, and I was having some troubles where I wasn't making a lot of money. So there were some days I didn't have the money for food at all. But I couldn't bring myself to go to welfare or anything, or food banks or something. I just felt like my attitude was those things are there for people who need it. Okay? People, I guess you could say, are on a different level of thinking. I don't know. But I'm just saying with the situation, I didn't do that. I did eventually do that. But in the process of doing that, of coming through certain situations or realizing how they fell into part, that was even another thing that fell into place as well. You know, it fell into place at the time it was supposed to happen. But I still had to go through realizations of sitting there looking, okay, I have no food. But my angels would come to me and say, well, it's time to fast. They were just pointing out to me that every situation, no matter how bleak you might think it is, can always have an outcome and a positive outcome just as long as I start thinking that way. And then they all they materialize. So, you understand what I'm saying with you?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay. You kind of dropped me off with the yes, sir thing, but you was in the military, right?
No. I have family that's in the military.
Okay.
But
you keep saying
my
sir,
past life,
just,
I remember.
I'm just saying.
The Roman soldier?
Yes. So you were in the military. The answer is yes. It just wasn't in his lifetime, right?
Yes.
This is why you like wearing skirts. But I'm just saying. Romans wore skirts, and they used to get a kick out of it. But and they were very manly people, too, I'm telling you.
I might wear skirts for God later on. That's all I can say.
Well, you know, do it at your own pace. But
yeah.
I'm just saying, you was in the military. It wasn't in this lifetime. You was in the military. Right, you believe in past lives, don't you?
Yes, I do.
No, I'm talking about, oh, I know you do. I'm talking about Robert.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
I'm sort of going, Robert, your voice has changed. But the same with the situation. So sometimes when people ask you questions, maybe the reason you're thinking that you should answer yes is because it's a past life coming through. So don't hesitate on those things and be proud of your past life as well. Yeah, you called me on the phone too, Mary. I guess you forgot I was on the air.
Yes, I did.
That's okay.
I'm like, I
have
to call on the show. All
right. So do you have any questions for Robert?
Robert, oh, are you psychic too, Robert?
Well, we all have it. You know, it's a good degree
answer.
Of intuition. I would not do reading. I do tarot for myself and for friends.
Right.
But that's because, you know, remember my guides tell me I don't listen a lot. So,
question to you, am I going to meet Donnie in person?
Well, that's always a possibility. You never say never.
That's true.
I mean, and he may, you know, you may be in the neighborhood, and but nonetheless, you have a little spiritual exchange just by chatting on the phone. So, you know.
Yeah, Mary, you should think about this. I was in Florida, and we had some neighbors, and this guy his wife was very well endowed, but she was dumb in a box of bricks, and it was one of those things I tell people not to focus on certain things, because the idea of getting away from her, because she wasn't a mean person. She was just one of those people that you just didn't know how to deal with when she was around because she had done drugs a long time, okay? so there were certain things about the whole situation where she was just she was who she was, okay? So we were sitting there, I focused on them, and it was one of those things. We moved from Florida to Maryland, and I was sitting there and trying to get out of the whole thing and say, you know, I was trying not to think about them, but she was a very pretty girl too, so. And my ex-wife was not exactly in a good mood that year. So certain things happened. So I'm sitting there focused. I said, wouldn't it be kind of funny to run into them? Do you know that we were in Maryland a week, not even a week, And my ex-wife was one of those people who just loved to run down the welfare office the very first thing she did when she came to a state, which was one of those things I was really trying to work on, and I was like, I need to find somebody who doesn't do that. So we went into the welfare office. I swear to you, the very first two people we ran into was that couple.
Well,
so you know, so don't sit there and think these things, because people are sitting there going, well, you're down there, and you're doing this, and you're there. That does not make a difference. If you're supposed to cross paths for some reason, I don't know what that was all about, but it could be just something that people cross their paths for all different reasons. I've been in situations where it was just an answer a question. You know, like I had a girlfriend who was somebody I hadn't seen in 25 years. And I was just kind of curious if she, you know, and if I left them, it's like a lot of guys do this, where you kind of wonder if you left a lasting impression. So if you ran into them, they would know you. Have a very good, very a response where they would just kind of like yell at your name or just say your name. So you knew for a fact it's, you didn't say a word, but you made an impression on them. So I thought, so I was telling my friend for like 2 weeks about this girl. Oh, this was great, man. I was playing a band. I met this girl. She chased me down for 2 months until she found me. And then we had like this 4 month relationship and that kind of stuff. So he was like getting tired of hearing about it. He says, you think you're ever going to run into this girl again? I said, I don't know. But I said, for some reason, I just feel like something's going to happen. And so we went to this carryout out in the middle of the boonies. He decided he wanted to, he went to his dad's. We came back, and all of a sudden I was like, stop. I got to stop the carryout, man. I got to get some cigarettes. I'm like, okay, fine, man. I just want to go home. So we pull into this freaking carryout. I swear to you, this place was like out in the middle of nowhere. If you would have been driving by, it was one of the houses. So we come into this carryout. I walk in. The very first person I saw was that girl. Her name was, they used to call her Tiny, which she was actually tiny. She was like 5 foot, maybe weighed 100 pounds. She looked at me and said, Donnie. And I'm sitting there going, and it wasn't meant to go any further than that or any kind of relationship or anything like that. It was just the ideal. They were just showing me that I did. So it could have been something of just building confidence up to go out there and go find somebody who was actually available. But I'm just saying, since a lot of things happen, so... So is anybody else there going to call in and talk to, ask me any questions? Because if you are, I'll give you the number. It's 646-721-9031. We would love to have you on the show. I understand you're probably all out there taking back your Christmas presents you didn't want. Shame on you. But
I call a friend of mine and put her on three-way. Her name is Corny. Her nickname is Corny.
Oh, Corny.
Yeah, Corny.
This is a show for everybody, right? So, I'm
sorry, don't think that way.
I wasn't thinking that way. That's exactly what I thought. Your voice is like jumping around.
I'm going to call the show right back. Let me call her and I'm going to put her on three-way with me.
Okay, good. We got like...
breast cancer. Don't tell her I told you, okay? Let me call you back.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye. She's giving me insights on... You don't need to do that. I already knew she was...
Right. So,
no, I'm just saying, with situations like that, I'm pretty sure, Robert, you've had some encounters that, you know, they could be, by some people, unexplained, but you knew they were going to happen one way or the other, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you know, you just have an inner knowing, like you know something is going to happen, or you're going to run into somebody, or, you know, I think those kinds of things happen just to help people, you know, get better and better touch with, you know, because every time it happens and, you know, if it shocks you, then, you know, that's good. It's like, oh, you know, then maybe I should pay more attention to that in the future.
Yeah, she kind of freaked me out when I said, what's your name? I knew, I recognized her voice when she said Mary Donnie. I'm like, so that's a nice name. What do you go by, Mary or Donnie? So if anybody wants to know out there, my name, my real name is Donnie. My professional name, I guess you would say, is Psychic Journeyman. So I've had a lot of people who are curious about that whole thing. But no, my parents didn't name me Psychic Journeyman. That would have been a psychic part on their part, I think. seriously, I don't know about the rest of you guys, but I know there's a lot of us out there that are psychic. We do this kind of work. And we have parents that do not believe and do not really respect or condone anything we do. And I hope one day that they do. So...
Yeah, there's a big generational. I mean, you can tell just the generational thinking. You know, I mean, with each generation, you know, and down to the crystal children and indigos, you know, being born, and the mass social communication where you know, yeah. these children can be stars.
Yes. Oh, yeah, most definitely. I was just starting to think, I'm sorry, it came out of my head. T-Love, she has a show on Block Talk Radio called Energy Awareness. So I'm not exactly when she's on. I know she's on later nights. But definitely check through the thing. It's T-Love, Energy Awareness, and check out her show. She's a very lovely woman. I mean, we saw her and talked to her. She was another person that said she could only stick around for an hour. Next thing you know, we're like talking for 2 hours. And she was like, I said, and reminded her, I said, I thought you had to leave in an hour. She goes, oh, I can stick around a little bit longer. And, boy, it's been that long. I said, yeah, we're going. I mean, it was like an hour and 40 minutes. And she's like, whoa. So I said, it's okay. But I said, the people that come on the show, it's like they bring more to the whole thing. I mean, I know about energy. I know about all those things. But different perceptions, like he was talking before, seem to hit people in different ways. That they have awareness about the whole thing, then maybe I can do it. So I'm hoping that by bringing people into the situation that they bring things to other people. I mean, it's like when we're having her name is Coral, but her real name is Ruby, and she's... Are you serious? My mom's calling me. She's downstairs. Okay, this is really crazy, isn't it, guys? This is a very entertaining show. You can meet my mother, my kids. It's great. you know, it's amazing. I really take this seriously.
It's a family affair.
Yeah, because I tell all the people all the time. I've actually talked to people. We was doing a charity event, and this one lady decided she wanted to do palm readings for this charity event. So she got a book and started reading on the whole thing. And she came to me, and she's like, it's so freaky. I said, what's so freaky? She goes, these people are really wanting answers. I said, welcome to my world. Yes, they're really looking for answers, and you need to take responsibility of that and realize what you're putting yourself into. It's not, I mean, it's like going in there and saying, I'm a psychotherapist. And, you know, even if you have the title, you still need to take the responsibility of that position of people coming to you are actually looking for help. I thought it was amazing when she said that. She looked at me almost like saying, help me, how can I deal with this? I said, well, just sit down with the people, do the palm readings, and be honest. Because a lot of times when you start doing certain things, that's what Mary was talking about. I think what she was asking you was, if when she said what she said, did you pick anything up? And if you're not listening, I mean, if you're not hearing anything, you're not listening to anything. But I'm just saying, sometimes people have a tendency to put themselves in situations, and they kind of stun themselves because they are picking stuff up with people, and they're not sure what it is. And it's like, well, tell me what it is, and I'll help you out, because I get the same thing where you get information from people. Of course you're not going to know what it is because it's not your life, but you're picking up somebody else.
Right. And one of the things that I think is probably the most challenging is filtering the information that comes through. You know, you know, many people who tune into spirit, I mean, you know, there's the concept there's no time in spirit. So, you know, when you're trying to translate something, you know, maybe your guardian angels or your guides are trying to say to you, you know, to translate that into, you know, past, sometimes it's difficult.
Yeah, it is. Sometimes it is. That's why when I work with people, the reason we talk about chakras and auras and cleansings and those kind of things, because more those, it's like chakras are a go between the spirit and the physical. So when those channels are open and balanced and cleansed, then the messages come through. So, you know, when they filter through, they actually filter through the way they're given. So you can actually understand. A lot of people go, I don't understand this. There's an old lady driving a car, and she's running over dead people. And you're like, okay. Well, most of the time, those things represent something. The dead people could actually be bad habits they're getting rid of, and they're driving over them because they're releasing those things at certain periods of time. But when I pick up those things, like I said, when I pick them up, I'm like, okay, I know what that is. But it's been, you know, but it's also been a progression. I mean, if you had met me 20 years ago, I would have said, okay, dead people. You know, it's just dead people.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What do we have here?
I'm saying, well, what are you thinking about? Are you thinking about getting rid of some of your family or something? You're just shooting one over.
Well, you really don't like them.
Yeah. So, I mean, I had a dream.
Right.
And it was funny because the dream, I think the more I do this work, the dreams get more comical because it's like they're, you know, but you pay attention to them more, you know. I mean, I had a dream with ex-fiancé who had a drug problem. And I was sitting here thinking, in the dream, I'm sitting here talking to her. We're actually getting along great, which is what I've been focusing on doing in the first place, like we was when we first met. When she was drug-free, everything was fine. So we're sitting there, we're having this little chat. Next thing you know, she starts doing this weird convulsion thing, falls on the freaking ground. So we're going, shoot, she's on drugs again. But this time she does something stupid. She falls off this cliff. She falls into the water. So I'm sitting there going, okay, I'll just jump in after her. Well, in the process of jumping in after her, the cliff went from being 50 feet up to being 1,000 feet up. So I'm like, okay, I can't do that. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, these stairs come. I mean, we're on a cliff. Out in the middle of nowhere, all of a sudden, these stairs come out of nowhere. So instinctively, I run down the stairs, which I thought was weird. I'm running down the stairs. I get down to the bottom of the stairs. I can't get to the water because there's this door in the way. It's a sliding glass door. She's on the other side of the sliding glass door, under the water, drowning, and I'm trying. Did I ever think about opening the door? No. All I felt like was if I smash the glass, I can get her out. Okay? So we're having all this going on. Well, for some reason, the glass won't work. Never thought about pulling the door. Never thought about unlocking, open the door. So I run back up the stairs. I get back to the top of the cliff. It's back down where it was supposed to be, 50 feet. But I said, what the heck? I just jump off into the water. I hit the freaking water. And guess what? I realize the water is only knee deep. So I kind of okay. I grab her by her shirt, pull her out of the water. She smacks me in the freaking chest, and she goes, what took you so long? So I'm sitting there going, okay, what the hell does that mean? And so I looked at the situation, and I realized that I have a tendency to, every time she gets herself in a situation, I always want to save her. And this thing, and they were talking about certain things, getting in the way, obstacles, and that kind of stuff. I felt like the sliding glass door was me representing to me that it was so clear. And so right there in front of my face, I should have seen it for what it was and who she was. Also, the idea of saving her was so clear. Because the door was right there. All I had to do was open it up. So what they're saying to me is, you're looking for difficult things, or difficult ways to deal with it. So you try to smash the glass instead of just simply opening the door. Okay, and then you jumped out there, and then you started realizing that it's like looking at the situation, looking at her, making the situation more than what it was. Because when I jumped in the freaking water, I'm thinking she's drowning when it was actually something she could have done herself. And she could have just walked up out of the whole situation, walked up out of the water. And then every time I do save her, she always wants to beat me up because I didn't do it quick enough. That was the weird one. Smack me in the chest and say, hey, what took you so long? I'm sitting there going, that's her attitude. Every time I would save her attitude would even get worse. So it was like,
I just love the dream state. It just gives you so much practice at, you know, kind of working through life's challenges.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've had some wild ones. Like I was telling her, let me bring Mary. Mary has actually called back. I love this. And click on the button.
You ready for your three-way?
Yes. We're trying to be nice about it. It's a family show. Okay.
Conversation, of course.
Mary? Hello, Mary. I'm having a flashback here of a wonderful life. Mary. Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to maybe, this thing does it from time to time. It's like you click it and then you click it again and it'll come back. Okay, hello. That didn't work. Okay. Maybe she's still talking on the three-way and she hasn't done the three-way yet. I'm just saying, when I looked at the situation, and you know something, I think it's a wonderful life. That is a spiritual story because it gives you an idea that you touch a lot of people in the course of your life. And if you didn't, there are certain things that wouldn't have happened.
Right.
And that's kind of amazing to have, you know, if you sit there and had to do, I don't know if I would have been in Jimmy Stewart's position of doing that character or sitting there looking at that whole thing. That could have been a bit overwhelming to go, wow, I did all those things. I mean, because he did a lot of things. He saved his brother. You know, he saved the savings alone. He was just in the right place at the right time. I mean, this is a guy you could look at in different ways. He made decisions, and he basically compromised his own life to make these decisions. So you could look at it and say, okay, that's a bad thing in certain senses. But also in the same sense, when he did make his decisions and he put himself in those things in his life, he embraced them. When he was there, he made the savings and loan very successful with his brother. The idea with his brother and the relationship he had with his brother, I think, was the reason why his brother was the way he was and the character he carried. So it was very powerful to look at those things instead of looking at it in a sense most people do and say, well, look at that. You know, all these people affected him and all these things happened, but they would have been focused on the lack of. See, they would have been looking at the thing going, oh, look at that. You know, his brother died, this. And so looking at the whole thing and going, this man was blessed, and I think he actually thanked God every day for all the blessings in his life. He just came to a point in his life where he was just wasn't sure when Mr. Potter, the devil, was sitting there doing his little thing. And this is what we say before. Who are you going to trust? You're going to trust, I trust spirits and angels and God more than I would trust in a human being. Unless I run into another person who is, because I think we have guidance systems for this too, where we know people who are being themselves, who are those positive people and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't think, the idea of saying everybody, you know, the situation about being bad people, I think people do bad things, but realistically, deep down, they're really good people, and they have a tendency to put themselves in a situation of compromising. I've seen women do this. Now, the women I've worked with, I've seen them do this, where they put themselves in situations, and then they want to blame the world when it was their decision that got them there. But if you sit there and put
right, right.
But when you put two and two together, you just wish they would open their eyes and go, no, everything, you know, there wasn't anybody in your life that day making decisions for you. There was no substitute Sandy. It was you. And just take responsibility of that. Of course, you did some bad things, you did this and any other, but guess what? You can change your thinking right now, change how you feel about certain things, and change the outcome. Because what's going on right now is a manifestation of what you used to think. But if you start thinking differently now, your outcome will be different.
Definitely. And you know, the people and going through the negative aspects and experiences sometimes create such a strength of character that, and such a mission in life that, you know, a person may not have followed a certain path unless they went through that real bad experience.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. You know, we said this before, too. How would you know what the good is if you didn't have the bad? And vice versa.
Right, right.
So, you know, so now you know. But it doesn't mean you have to go there every time.
Right, exactly.
I'm sure you're going to say, look at this, guys. When you go somewhere, you get a map. You study the map. But if you're a person who goes there many, many times, you don't need to look at the map every time. Well, there are a few people out there, but you know who you are.
I'm one of those.
But what the situation, what we're trying to say is, once you know where you're going, because I was trying to talk to people on the phone. I was talking the other day about Jesus. And I said, if you look at the situation of Jesus, first of all, he proves the idea about psychics because he knew when he got here, he knew what he had to do. And it's also about people talking about coming here and having a contract to come here, with working with your guides and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think the concept itself, if you look at Jesus, he knew exactly what he was doing when he got here. Only difference is his guide was God. So he knew what was going on. And I always say, in the situation where he kept on going down his path because he knew what his path was, and he seemed pretty happy and content and believed in what he was doing. So he kept on going forward. Now, there was a couple of times where he asked, is there a different way we can do this? In some ways, I feel like it's one of those things, too, where if you're in human body, you knew those things were going to come up, that we all know Jesus went through torture in a very strong, torturous part. I think in some ways I would have been asking, too, is there a different way of doing this? Because this is going to hurt. But in the same sense, he also had a sense of purpose. Like, I've noticed this, too, when people really want to help the human race and help people, you know, they know where they're going. There might be some pitfalls about the whole thing, and there are some people that can drive you crazy, but at the same time, you're not willing to give that up. And I think in the situation with Jesus, was the same thing, okay? Is there a better way of doing this so we can get past the torture part? But since there wasn't, and he knew he had to do it, he still did it. He knew what he had to do. And that's why I was saying the situation of people compromising. If you look at these two individuals anyway, with Jimmy Stewart and Jesus, they could have compromised, but they knew what to do. And they did it. So some of us will look at it as compromise when, how do we know it wasn't their life purpose? It was. Because I still feel like Jimmy Stewart and Jesus were right on the same level there. Of, you know, if they wouldn't have been in this world, how would his world be? It makes you wonder.
Right. It kind of gives you recognition that, you know, by following, you know, a higher intention, living your life in a higher intention, no matter how much or how little you touch some people's lives, you know. I mean, I've heard from people who, you know, I honestly, truly had forgotten, you know. I mean, you know, it happens when you're over 50, you tend to forget a little bit more. But, but then there was one particular thing that I may have said or done that just, you know, stuck with them. You know, teachers have that all the time, I'm sure. You know, students will go back to them and say, you know, you taught me this, boom, and boy, it stuck.
Yeah, I've had that myself when people come back and say, you know, that story you told me, I thought it was kind of like, I thought you were bragging about yourself or just talking about yourself. I didn't realize it. She goes, and then the situation you were telling me about, it happened, and now that story makes sense. You know, or people come back to me and say, I hated you last week because you told me the truth. I didn't like that. Then they come back and thank you because you told them the truth. And then it's like, it was like a realization for them to open up their eyes. And that's what I was always telling people. I said, if you're prompted to do something, it's like working. It's like you don't have to be a psychic to be prompted to do things. You know, we're all in the same positions of saying, okay, I felt like, and you've heard this before too, Robert, probably, where people start talking about, I should have said this or I should have done this.
Oh, yeah.
And then I was telling a friend of mine, I said, we start doing all this stuff. I don't catch myself saying that much as I used to. Yeah. What? Mm-hmm. Well, okay. Well, we blew a fuse here in the house, and now it's kind of like total darkness downstairs.
It gives new meaning to being in the dark, huh?
I want to ask myself, are you sure Mercury retrograde is not going on right this month? Because I feel like it's a trick or something, because we're supposed to be out of that, okay? That was last week. But for some reason, I was like, God, this is a very eventful week. Certain things are just not happening. What we're going to do here is, Mary, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. I want you to hang in and talk to us. I think you're a very spiritual person yourself, and I want you to do this. I'm going to answer some questions for these other people here. If you pick up anything, let me know, okay?
Okay.
All right. And area code 803, how are you? Welcome to the show.
I'm fine. I'd like to know if you see anybody in the future for me.
One more other thing. Can you please tell me your name?
My name is Lillian.
Lillian?
Yes.
Lillian, the one thing I would sit here and tell you right now is I keep picking up on, I feel like you are going to meet somebody. I keep getting 2 months. I see 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
2 months. It's like looking at a calendar and you see the months when you usually have one of those little sections where you got all the months on there.
Yeah.
I'm being directed to the next two months. I would say probably around, I'm getting a date now, February 28th.
Oh, okay.
But I just want to make sure with your situation that you make sure that you are not hanging on anything. I feel like
I have been hanging on to something, but it's been too many years, and the person that I had in mind is just too old now.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying with the
but
situation.
But I still have deep respect for them.
Okay. Mary, do me a favor,
yes.
Mary. Could you talk to Lillian, and I'll be right back because we just lost power. And
okay.
I'll be right back. Robert?
Hi, Lillian. Where
are you? I'll be right back in 5 minutes.
Okay. Fine. Where are you from, Lillian?
I'm from the Deep South.
The Deep South. Texas?
What you call the Midlands of South Carolina.
Oh.
Where? I'm in Myrtle Beach.
Oh, okay. I'm in Orangeburg.
Orangeburg. Yeah. Very pretty town.
Pardon?
Very pretty town.
It is.
So tell me, are you looking for love or are you waiting for love?
Well, I would like a little romance before I die. I'm a widow of 4 years.
4 years already?
Mm-hmm.
Well, God bless you. God bless you. Like Donnie says, 2 months, I believe, pretty much, you'll see this person in 2 months in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be blessed with this person in your life.
A nice person.
I'm sure that God will give you someone that you deserve, you know.
Okay.
But if you know from what's inside of yourself that this person is not healthy for you mentally or physically, then you know that it's not the right person for you.
Right. Okay. And I'm an older senior citizen, and I still believe there's romance out there.
Well, if you believe, then it does exist.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry, guys. We're back after the blowout here. It's not you in New York City either. It happens at least one time a night in the last 3 days. Isn't that kind of weird?
Maybe it's an angel or some type of spirit in your house.
That's what I was thinking a minute ago.
Trying to get to see the light, right?
He's playing tricks with Donnie. They want his attention.
Yes, maybe it's a good spirit that needs your help.
Yeah, most so. With Lillian, one thing,
yes,
you're focusing on romance and you think that romance is going on, one thing I will tell you right now is I keep picking up with you, I keep getting Archangel Tremel with the Angel of Love.
Mm-hmm.
I also get the other angel with them.
Wait a minute, I didn't hear you. You're kind of breaking up a little bit.
I actually see Archangel Tremel around you, which is the Archangel of Love.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have three angels around you. They're small little angels. They're called the Love Angels. So when you usually have these with you, that means
yes,
they're messaging, and they're preparing you for that.
Oh, good.
So you're right. You're still alive. You still have a lot to offer to the world. You're still here, and you are worth if your weight in gold.
Oh, good.
So, I feel like you've also helped a lot of people along the way as well, so.
I have.
I think sometimes in situations like this, you should pat yourself on the back as well.
Yes, I've been a nurturer for children and older people, and now I feel like I should have, you know, I've been married twice, 6 years the first time and 34 the second time. Now
mm-hmm.
I feel like I should have some freedom. I'd like to travel a little bit, have somebody to travel with or whatever.
Well, from what I can pick up with the whole thing is I feel like things are going to, God, I keep getting this impression where it's just going to happen here in the next 2 months. So I feel like a lot of things are going to happen around. It's not just the idea of meeting somebody, but also a lot of doors opening for you too as well. Which
oh,
I feel
well,
like in some ways it has something to do with this man.
Oh, good. Okay. Well,
right,
thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. And you have
okay,
thank you. And thank you for calling. And
okay.
I want you to go out there and have a great year and open yourself up and just start preparing yourself for this person coming to your life, okay? Don't doubt
okay,
it.
Okay. I won't. Thank you very
bye
much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye. I'm so tired. Okay. So, Robert, I see you're still
sorry,
with us.
That was a nervous minute for me there.
I'm sorry.
Okay, I'm your friend.
I have a lot of confidence in how you do it. Robert, you still with us?
Yes, I am. Listening to, she was sweet.
Yes, she was. It was one of those things where I still believe when people are focusing on things and they can see it, that means it must exist. Just my belief on it too. I believe it too. If you can't imagine it, then it don't exist. But if you can't imagine it, it's just a matter of time. So, Mary, did you ever get a hold of that woman?
Yeah, she was watching her story of it's a story that like a soap opera, Spanish soap opera, and she doesn't like to miss it. So I had to say, okay, well, I'll give you his number whenever you want to call in.
So you're saying this
kind of novella or something?
Novella, uh-huh.
Okay, well, if you want to stick around, Mary, and just give us your input on some of the callers, that'd be great. Do you have a problem?
I just want to listen in.
Okay, so you,
I'm not ready for that yet. Maybe one day I'm more like
that's why I'm asking you.
Prayer power right now and healing and stuff like that more than.
Okay, well, I can put you back on. I can put you back on listen mode if you want.
That's cool. Yeah.
Okay. We'll talk
to you
later. You're welcome. Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, it worked. Okay, here we go. Press the button, nothing happens. All right. Now there we go again. Okay, here we go. Hello, 347 area code, you're on the air. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good. If there was just one way you could actually speak up just a little bit more, if you could.
Oh, okay. It's the first time I listened to your show, actually.
What do you think?
Well, so far so good.
hey, thumbs up.
Okay. Well,
say hi to Robert.
Oh, hi, Robert. I don't know the names yet.
That's fine. Hello.
Okay. Well, my name is Claudia.
Claudia, how are you? What's your question?
I'm fine. Well, basically, pretty much what everybody always asks. Love. Do you see anyone this year for me?
Romance, huh?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Usually the question I've been getting hit with a lot is career, so.
I'm sorry?
I said the norm for me is people have been asking about career, so.
Oh, okay.
But you're asking about love and romance.
Yeah.
You know, the situation, it seems like there's some things that you're still hanging on to. What I mean by that is, when I sit here and focus on you, sometimes the good memories that you focus on somebody that's past, a past relationship, an ex, sometimes when you do focus on those past experiences, even the positive ones, there's still an emotional attachment. And right now you have somebody who's going to be coming in your life in the next 6 months. And when I say next 6 months, I would sit here and say around June. And for some reason, I've been getting a lot of dates lately, too. I keep getting June 12th. So I'm saying what also I pick up with the situation is the idea of being prepared when it happens. So it's one of those things of saying, okay, if you've been working on yourself and you've changed a lot of things in your life and you feel like you've been doing that, that's great, okay? It's just I keep getting this impression that you should continue to keep looking deeper within yourself. Reason I say that because when I was 10 years old, I drowned, which is how I started all this. But it was also something that happened about 4 years ago when I had my own business and everything else, and I just feel like there should be more. And I couldn't figure out how come there wasn't some more, even in relationships, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like good stuff going, I go and tell you, happen, everything else follows. And it wasn't happening like that. But it seemed like I would run into people that I didn't even know would just pick up this certain thing about this drowning accident with me. Somebody was doing the two. So I started thinking to myself, I said, maybe that's the key, because I keep getting that all the time. And I should go back and look at that too. So what I did was I did a past life regression, but not to a previous life, but to this life, a spot in this life when I drowned, and I found out that I was still hanging on to guilt just from that one little spot. So it was the idea of when I realized that, it helped me to realize that was what was blocking me. Because a lot of times when you work with the reason of focusing on healing and just those things that you can attach it to the past, they have a tendency to block things that are coming into your life because you're still allowing them to occupy space in your mind, in your life, and just being attached to them, they're still occupying something here. But when you cut loose those things, you make room for the new stuff to come in, and they happen very quickly. So you see this happening in 6 months, but I also get the impression that there are certain things, if you looked at, then the timing would move up. Because I think you're a very lovely person, but you do have a tendency to rehash some things that you've gone through. And I think,
that part?
Sometimes you have I said, I feel like you're a lovely person, but sometimes you have a tendency to rehash things from the past. Like if you get with girlfriends and there's certain things that come up, you start talking about it. So there's certain things when you do that, that's just reaffirming something you didn't like in the first place, but you're still reaffirming it, so you might actually manifest it again, and you don't want to do that. I feel like that something's coming into your life is very good because of what you have been working on with yourself.
Mm-hmm. It makes sense. Totally. I actually spoke to someone about 2 weeks ago. I'm pretty new to the, you know, to the Black radio community, and she told me pretty much exactly what you're telling me. And I mean, about this other person that I still have feelings for, and that someone else is going to come, and but she thought it was July. She said July 11th. But so it's pretty much what you said, somebody really great.
So have you
been
working?
Makes sense. I've been working on me. I've changed a lot. 2010 was overall a good year for me, thank God. I grew a lot.
How about those last 2 weeks? Have you been working on some additional stuff those last 2 weeks?
Yes, I mean, a lot of things have happened, and so, it's a constant. I'm just a very different person than I was, let's say, 2 years ago.
Well, I'm just saying, with the situation, you said you had a psychic 2 weeks ago, basically told you the same thing I did, but she saw July, okay? I'm getting here, since you've been working on additional stuff in the last 2 weeks, you changed things. So, in the process, it's possible you changed the timing, too. So that's why I see June. So, you know, keep working on yourself. It seems like that can move things up. Nothing. I really feel like very firmly when we sit and focus on things, I'm focused on you right this minute, I see the 12th. But that doesn't mean 2 weeks from now. Go ahead, I'm sorry. You there?
Yeah, I'm here. Yes, I'm sorry I cut you off before. It's just kind of cutting off.
Don't worry about
it. Staticky.
Yeah, it happens. It's just the network's kind of jumpy right now. I don't know. It's kind of a weird thing. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
With the other psychic, she lost communication twice. She used to say it was just because there was a strong energy. So when before that happened to you and the lady said a spirit, I was like,
okay.
Like that's happening. It's just strong energy.
Well, if that's the case, it happens every show.
Well, that, yeah. It happened twice to her. Two nights in a row.
I don't know about that, but you know, that I'm not going to dismiss that. Maybe that's what was happening with her. I'm saying, and we have had some weird things happen here. Some things we don't mention in our family. I'm doing my radio show, but I do it in private, basically, because my family is just does not approve of this. So we kind of keep things under tow. So if I went downstairs and told mom she had a spirit, she would freak out. it's like one of those things. I'll look at it, and I'll take care of it when she's not here, and we'll just ask the spirit if they are here, you know what it is. Because I know what you're saying. I've been in the same situation, but I know for a fact that in the last. I've been really putting myself in here and really wanting to get some things really across to people. So it's kind of me, myself. I tell this to everybody else too. You should do the same thing with whatever you're doing right now. It's just to reaffirm it to your angels that you want to be better. And that's what I've been doing. I've been telling everybody, telling my angels and stuff that I want to be I do it in a sense where I say I want to be the best, successful, but I also want to be a psychic, a spiritual medium that just keeps getting better and better because it benefits you.
Just one other quick question. Something I've always wondered, and since you're talking so much about angels, back when 9/11 happened, I'm in New York, something little odd happened to me. 9/11 hit me really hard. I mean, it hit a lot of people hard, but it really depressed me. So I remember one night I was listening to the news and I was just praying to God for a miracle, and I was not sleeping. I was sitting up with my eyes closed praying, and the news was there, and I felt someone kissed my cheek, my left cheek, and it was like the most loving kiss that it was like, you know, I'm a Christian woman, but I'm more like towards Jesus, not the Virgin Mary, but the love that I felt at that moment, I was like, what was that? It was like a mother's kiss, you know? Because I'm a mother. So I'm wondering, could you know who it was? Who was like an angel or, I mean, it was just something that happened to me. And I, like, when it happened, I opened my eyes. I was like, oh, my God, what, you know, what was that? But it was.
When did it happen? You said it was around the 11?
Yeah, it was maybe like 3 days after 9/11. Or 4 days. It was, I remember just praying. I was praying to God for a miracle because they were saying that there, you know, there was rumors that there was cell phones and people were under the, all that, you know, the building and whatever, and that they were getting phone calls. So I remember praying.
Right.
That happened to me.
Well, see, the message I got was there was a lot of angels there. A lot of energy, a lot of things going on. I get the impression that there was an angel that kissed you on the cheek because it was basically saying, faithful child. I feel like that you had a lot of angels around you that almost like the point of being amazed by your faith. I feel like that time they were all there in New York City because of what happened, which makes a lot of sense of people transition over. But when I saw the vision, it was like the angels coming in and coming out and then passing by you and just basically giving you a kiss on the cheek.
I felt it on my left cheek. And mm-hmm. I've never forgotten that. And I was not sleeping. And I've told, like, my family. And my family believes me because, you know,
right.
I was not asleep. And, it, you know, when it happened, I opened my eyes. I was like, I didn't imagine that.
That's,
you know,
reason,
I felt it.
That's the reason the angel kissed you on the cheek, because of your belief. Just it was almost like reaffirming that and say, oh, yeah, here we are. And it was, I'm just saying, when I saw the whole thing, it's like I see the everything. I see this, the Trade Center and all the kind of stuff. And you just see these masses of angels coming into the whole situation. And it just wasn't just for the people that were taken in the accident itself. It was angels coming from all over to comfort everybody in the situation, everything that was going on. That's why you probably had, I mean, I think that's why you had a lot of miracles that happened with people being under the ground for so long and then still being rescued and certain things like that. And there's, you know, it was just amazing with some of the situations, because if you sit and look at the situation, it was kind of I mean, if you've heard the stories, there was a lot of heroes in those stories. I'm not saying there wasn't, but there was also other stories of people and the mass confusion where people should have been working together. And that's what the angels came in. The angels came in to make things more cohesive. And even though the humans were not really willing to do that, there was still some egos in the situation. And with angels, there are no egos. And when I feel like this angel passed you by, the angel was acknowledging you, that you really don't have an ego. You're really a spiritual person. So it was, I don't know how else to put it. The angel would just, it's like coming in as they're progressing to go outwards or back to where they came from, as they were helping with transition. This angel just happened to be walking by you and just felt like she needed to do this.
Okay. Because I always wondered who it was. It was like, you know, my guardian angel, or it was just something that I was like, who was that? What was that? You know?
No.
That makes sense. Definitely.
It was a passing angel, because, I mean, I get the impression that, sure, you're surrounded with a lot of angels, guardian angels, the whole thing. But this angel, I just see her walking by. As in this chaos of stuff that's going on, to the point where, help, help, help. And then here's a person that, at that time, were just, I think you're, in some ways, you're looking for additional faith yourself. And that, just the idea of clarifying that for you, saying, you know, what you're doing, you're praying, you're answer prayers.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. You've helped me a lot. God
bless
you.
You're welcome. Thank you for the call, and you have a great night. Happy New Year.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. So, everybody, how you guys doing? Robert?
Yes. Yes, I'm here. I'm listening intently.
Yeah, very good. So, when 9/11 happened, I mean, we had a lot of stories and stuff. Ins and outs and that kind of stuff, but it was just the idea of, I didn't know this. I didn't realize they took the metal and made a ship out of it. Did you know this?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, it was called the It's like a battleship, I think. And it's called a mercy ship. I'm not really sure what it is. I just saw a glimpse of this whole thing where they took this metal and made this ship out of it. And I guess it was in New York Harbor. But it was supposed to be a ship of hope. And I was kind of amazed that they actually did that. And I see the coins, and I see this and that and the other, and I understand that these are probably happening for a reason. That's amazing. In certain situations like this, how these things come out. And plus, I didn't realize that when these buildings collapsed the way they did, it's actually a series of seven buildings. It's just not the two buildings.
Yeah, it did impact quite a few.
So there was actually a hotel at the base of the Trade Center. I think it was the first building. And there was there was so many stories that came out of that. This one guy said he was sitting down there, and just the idea of the way that when the building came down and the things happened the way they did, there was something about the whole thing. He said that they went back over and looked at it again, and they actually had snapshots of the building when it collapsed around him. And it was funny that all the floors that he was on, they were the only ones standing. And which enabled him to get out. And then after that, then something came down and took the rest of it out. But he said it was amazing how everything fell into place so he could get out. So a lot of people are confused because they're wondering how come some people didn't and some people did. And I just think it's one of those situations that everything happens for a reason. So I look at it a different way of saying, okay, people who left were leaving. I was just going out, and then the people who survived still have more things to do, so they were still here.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And when you think about the whole the consciousness that was changed by the event, I mean by everybody that was touched, and just how it had a global impact.
Yeah,
on consciousness. And I think we're going to be seeing a lot more of those. We had the tsunami. It's kind of like we're getting examples of forced compassion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. It was kind of funny. I mean, the way it happened so quickly and so, you know, precisely. But I think the one thing I thought came out of it was people are looking at things differently now. Having a more appreciation for what they do have. I mean, there's still, you know, there's always a constant working with some other people, as we know, but there seems like on a massive conscious level, a lot of people look at things differently.
Right. And when, how many times after, you know, disasters do you hear people say, you know, well, we have ourselves, you know, we have our life and, you know, everything else. I mean, it just brings into focus what's important.
Yeah, because I was talking to some people. I said, I'm trying to be sensitive, but you don't understand what I'm saying. I said, you're sitting there going, all their lives were cut short. How do we know that? Do you have the lives that were supposed to be, and now you can say they got cut short when you don't know that? I mean, there's reasons for it. I mean, it's like the same thing I was talking to a friend about. I tell my friend a lot about abortions and that kind of stuff and say, you know, so maybe people make mistakes and those things happen, but I don't think in certain situations we should dwell on as much as we do, because we should be looking at the positive that came out of it more than we should look at the loss. Because it makes us think, and then we start approaching life in a different way. I think we played the way it did, because everything happens for a reason. Even suicides. Suicides have a tendency to bring people's awareness to certain situations. Now, if we could just point them toward the school so we can stop all these shootings. But I did hear this one thing, and this was, I thought this was pretty powerful, when Dr. Wayne Dreyer was doing a lecture, someone put a note on his podium and said, why are there shootings in school? You know, where's God in these situations? And then he said it was kind of funny that when he turned the paper over, there was an answer on the back of it and said, don't you remember? You took me out of schools. And I thought at that moment was trying to get people to understand that by your actions, things happen. It's not God who's doing these things. It's like going through teachings and certain things, or listening to ourselves, or being connected to our angels. You start seeing things in a different way of saying, no, everything happens for a reason. So why do you think there's shootings in school? Because, see, you're not listening to your guides and your angels, but you're also not listening to the people around you as well. Because I've sat there and studied those situations many, many times, and you always hear people say that these people who did these shootings or doing certain things were talking about it weeks before they even did it. And nobody was paying attention, or nobody was taking it seriously. So I started looking and saying, well, you know, it's the same thing with the 9/11. The FBI had stated that they had gotten calls. There was information that came to them that said this was going to happen. But nobody took it seriously. So then you start to take it one step further and look at the situation and why it unfolded. It was the people's eyes up. They hear to see the fully stolen. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
You all right, Robert?
Yes, I am. Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's, you know, and like you say, you know, you don't know, I mean, what a person's, you know, life expectancy is. And, you know, I go back to that it really kind of molds the person, you know, and, you mm-hmm. know, and I think each time it lends a chance to strengthen spirit, you know.
Yeah.
And actually, it's quite, you know, very nice. Or I mean, when you figure what these people go through in order to help, you know, shift, you know, the globe's consciousness. I mean, you know, that's quite a sacrifice.
Yeah, I think it's going to still be a shocker when he gets to heaven. There's no virgins there, but yeah. That's another thing. But
that's a whole other story.
Yeah, it's a whole other story, but it's just the idea of the whole thing going, okay. But like I said, every time something happens like that, I do, you know, you've noticed that people in situations like 9/11 and everything else, everybody got really a lot of strength in their beliefs and their. It's just the idea of coming back to loving again, which they always get closer to religion, or I call it spirituality. Because I think religions have a tendency to take that a little bit out of there, but you can tell. I've been to churches and everything else. I go to church and there's just certain things I do because people ask me, "Well, you're a psychic," and I said, "What does that mean? I'm a psychic. How come I can't go to church?" Okay, there's a sign on the door that said, "If you're a psychic, don't come in." But I used to have the same problem when I was in Colorado. We had a shop. It looked like a little fairy castle. We had little cone roofs, two of them. And it was a two-room little chat thing. Yeah. I had a door on my side. She had a door on her side. She did readings on her side. I did readings on my side. I think it was kind of cool, too. We had a woman and a man doing readings in the same shop. But she had a very different way of doing readings than I did. So you basically, when you walk into place, you had a choice. You know, you could work with me or you could work with them. And my firm belief was when they walk in the door, let them go where they're gravitated to go. Now, she was like, I want all these people for myself. And I'm thinking, reason I think we should do that because it just kind of like opens up their faith. But I was still have these people come by every day. So always went on my show and debate me. You know, I have these little debates about, you know, Jesus and God and the whole thing. And they were gravitated when they walked by the shop. I had this big oak, it was like a big oak kitchen table. Big oak table. I love this table. It was big oak. I just felt like I was really grounded. Having this table and where we was at in Manitou Springs, Colorado, which I recommend for everybody to go to this place. And if you check out Travel Channel, when they have the 10 top haunted places in America, you'll find Manitou Springs is on there. This will kind of give you like an introduction to it. But it's definitely, you should go there. It's an experience you'll never get over, I swear. But I was sitting there, and the energy is sitting there. It's just so, it's overpowering. It's like a big wave of water hits you, but then you just stand there and you love it because it feels so great. So, and the churches, we had church behind us, and I think a church down from us. They'd always come in there, and what gravitated to my freaking, to my place, basically, was I'd always have the door open. I always had the door open. My room, my freaking, this lady I was working with, she always wanted to have netting over the windows and the doors shut, and I'm sitting there going, that kind of gives a different signal. I said, I want the door open. I want my incense going out the door so people can sense, you know, smell that, and it can attract them there. But at the same time, they find the door open, they feel more content to come in. And so I was sitting there talking. So I had my Bible sitting on the table right there, big green Bible. That brought more people people in that shop I've ever seen any green in that shop. Even the incense. You know, it was a sweet smelling incense, and still that Bible was like, and I've had people come here going, you have a Bible on your table. I'm sort of going, okay, I don't get the question. And they're like, well, you have a Bible on your table. Why do you have a Bible on your table? I said, well, for two reasons. And they go, what's that? I said, well, for one reason, it's mine. Okay. I said, for the second reason is, I do a lot of relationship counseling, and I guarantee about 98% of my advice that comes to me comes from that Bible. And I said, it's kind of funny that when I see that, okay, I can refer to each part in the Bible where I picked that up. And they're like, really? I said, yeah, you seem surprised, but I mean, I just figured if you really study the Bible, then you wouldn't be so surprised what I just said. But it's because I was psychic and reading the surface, they wasn't getting any deeper than that. They just wanted to basically judge me because of it. Excuse me. So I just sat there and said to them, I said, you can judge me all you want. I said, but one thing I'm not doing right this minute, I'm not judging you. I said, you believe what you believe. You have this strong faith in what you do, and I'm not going to sit here and knock it. Why should I? It's your perception, you know. And I said, all I'm asking you to do is listen to me and how I believe and my strong faith as well. And I think if we can do that, I think we could all coexist a whole lot better.
Oh, I agree. If we could have unconditional love with, you know, without judgment, then it would be a perfect world.
Yeah, and the idea, I think, is that perfect world could definitely exist if we would just do one thing, which is basically the greatest commandment in the Bible is basically love everyone as you love yourself.
Exactly.
So I was telling these guys, I said, you got the Ten Commandments in your front yard. Is that a reminder of all the things you've been doing wrong? You know? And he was like, what? I said, I've noticed that people have a tendency to, I do palm readings, and I notice people have a tendency to wear rings and jewelry, and I always notice that each one of those things is an insecurity of them, that they're reminding themselves of. And I said, like, okay, so I started thinking, people put the Ten Commandments in their front yard. Why are they doing that for? I mean, if they're actually living it, then they won't need to do that. Okay? And plus, if they were living it, they were probably attracting, you know, attracting people the same way, so they wouldn't be thinking about it. They would just be living it, which I think that's the best thing you can ever do, set an example, to be an example. But so I'm just curious about people who have Ten Commandments in the front yard. I told this one lady, I said, do you realize if you did one thing, it's just love everybody unconditionally, love yourself, and just did those two things, you would never work the Ten Commandments. You would never think it. So every time something would happen, you would always think, I don't want to steal this from this person because I love this person. I don't want to commit adultery. This is my best friend's wife. And you would start thinking. So therefore, you wouldn't put yourself in those situations. So I said, this is not we talked about this before too, about no sex before marriage. I said, it's not like a commandment, because you guys freak out and go, ooh, I can't do that. I said, no. I said, think about it this way, okay? Think about it in a spiritual context. If you did that, just to think about all the time and all the pain you could have saved yourself. I said, then look at it that way. Not like being controlled, but trying to protect you from yourself. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, it's if you know, if you live by that, you know, those rules, then there's no reason to have them in front of you to remind you to live by them, because you already are.
Yeah, so I said to tell people, so read the Bible. It says, God gives angels charge over us. So therefore, I believe in angels and guides and guardian angels and that kind of stuff. How we know that in certain contexts of history, that they were all angels, but they've been taken out of context. Because there is a certain point in the Bible that says, God says, no gods before me. Now, see, he's not denying that the gods exist. He's just saying, no gods before me because I created them. That's what I feel like he's saying. So if you look at that situation, okay, these northern gods and the gods, they all exist, but they're on a different level. And then God's like the president. So it kind of filters out like a pyramid. Because I thought it was kind of weird how certain civilizations came up with a pyramid. Because if you think about the pyramid, it kind of reflects you could say Christianity, but I always say how God had his plan where he's like the president. You know, you got the vice president, which is Jesus. And then it kind of filters down to the gods and the angels. And then you have everything that goes along with it. So to have that kind of assistance with you, how come you don't have the life that you really want? And people start thinking, going, huh, yeah, you got a lot of help, buddy. You just need to call on, say hello, help me out. So I feel like if you take a guardian angel letter and write it, it just, to me, if it's something you've never done before, And it's just a way of getting the ball started.
Yeah, you know, so many people, with the process of actually writing, you know, I think that in itself, you show your intent to your angels, your guardian angels, that, you know, this is what I want. You know what I mean?
Right.
Kind of getting your chi flowing.
Oh, heck yeah. You know, once they know, it's a whole lot easier to manifest something or to help you co-create that if you give them some idea of what you want. Because they're sitting there going, okay, you say you want love, but how are you going to obtain that? What do you, you know, if you're looking for the perfect man, first of all, you should rethink that. I actually had a lady got mad at me because she said, I'm looking for Mr. Perfect. I'm sitting there going, there's one problem with that. And she goes, what's that? I said, you're not. And she was like, what? I said, you're not perfect. She goes, well, I know that. But I said, well, think about what you're trying to do. I said, let's take a step back and say, law of attraction says like attracts like. She goes, yeah. I said, well, you're trying to attract a certain person. But you can't attract that person unless you are that person. What you're actually trying to attract is you. So I said, do you know who you are? Well, I think so. Well, just by making that comment, I knew you need to work. You need some work on this. I said, but I guarantee you, I think a lot of people are having problems finding the right person because they don't know themselves. But I said, to help you. I think that's really a strong statement itself because, you know, if you're being true to yourself, you always seem to find the other person who's doing the same thing. So therefore, it works. It's always some people with arrogance who have a tendency to go, well, this is the right person, and I'm going to prove it, you know?
Even if it kills me.
Even if it kills me, I'm going to prove it. This is my man. I'm sitting there going, I said, you know something? I can't give you any help because you're way out of my range on this one. But I said, I think it's the truth, you know? If you know yourself, then you always recognize the person you're supposed to be with. And the reason I say that because I worked with a lot of women who have a tendency when they meet a guy, they just instinctively want to go right to the mode of saying, I like everything about you. It's like an insecurity and a fear. If they don't agree with everything that person says, they might not have a chance of having somebody. So they got impatient, and they're just not willing to do anything with themselves at that point. I'm not saying they never will. I'm just saying at that point, they've kind of made a decision that if I go find the right person, then I'll be the right person, when it's actually the other way around. And that's why I firmly believe that, just because, you know, the opposite is true. Because people who know themselves really well have a tendency to get away from that impatience of actually trying to find somebody. They go from the point of needing somebody to the point of wanting to share their life with somebody. And they have a tendency to, with those realizations, it doesn't happen it takes a lot of time. It seems like they fall right into the situation of going, wow, that was just great. How'd that happen? Well, you know, stop thinking about how it happened. This is where you get take the next step and just enjoy what's going on. I mean,
right, yeah. It starts within. It to me, I find it, you know, I listen to a lot of shows, and, you know, to me, I find it interesting that so many people, you know, when it comes to the relationships, it's, you know, they, first of all, they're not really sure what it is they want, you know, and then once they realize that what they want isn't who they're with, you know, they still want to know, is it going to work?
Right.
I always sit there and talk to people and say, okay, you really want this thing to work? Because there's going to be, you know, it's like the idea of a perfect relationship can actually be existed, but it's something that's created, not something you just walk into. That hurt. So I'm just saying, with people, it's like, sit down, just work this thing out. But, you know, honestly, when you look, you know, the idea of listening to each other, it's not a, you know, some people go, well, you know, I don't want to do that. And I think right now, with the way the world is, too, we're going to 2011. It's a very positive year. I feel like it's really going to make a play on what 2012 is going to be like. And I will say one thing about 2012. It's not the end of the world. If you really read the Maya thing, too, you'll notice that it says one ends and another one begins. It's the last one, but it still begins. So therefore, why is all this propaganda out there saying the end of the world is going to happen in 2012? Because it doesn't say that. Even in the calendar, it doesn't say that. It says exactly what it says. It's going to, one ends, another one begins. Now, some of the people have got it in the movies and stuff where there's a big new beginning, but they also kind of portrayed as in something we manipulate in happening. Like if you've seen the movie 2012, we make a bunch of Noah's Arks.
Right.
And do our little thing out there and that kind of stuff. But I've always, but you sit there and look at the way Noah's Ark went. Yeah, he did create the Ark and that kind of stuff, but everything else that happened afterwards was, I guess you could put in the realm of the miracles. But see, what I like to look at, the deeper part of the whole thing is God never gave up on the human race. Every time he's ever done anything to destroy the human race, there's always that one. He still carries it on. So the ideal of saying that, can you be a perfect person? Yeah, because you're a descendant of a perfect person. Adam, I believe Adam existed. And I don't know that chain's never been broken. There's always, when one you can carry on with his family, that kind of thing. So therefore, if you look at that, I think we should do the same thing in 2011. We should focus on not giving up on the human race either, and ourselves. And I think in some ways, in 2009 and 2010, a lot of it was going, whoa, am I ever going to make it through this? Well, now it's time to turn around, guys. You made it. So what are you going to do in 2011? This is the year that realizations have already happened. Now it's time to move into the part of actually manifesting it and making it happen. Now, a lot of us have already been doing that. So 2009 and 2010, we would say it wasn't the best years we've ever had, but we also still accomplished and met a lot of goals, too. And I think we all should look at those things, too.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think that a lot of it was just really to shake people up, you know. I mean, to shake the foundation and kind of, it's kind of like a, you know, a mass, I don't know, you get a whole bunch of marbles and you just all of a sudden shake them up and everybody's kind of doing different things. But most people are doing more in line with what their purpose is, I think, now than,
that's it.
You know,
it's realization on everybody's part of saying, okay, I've got this realization, now what do I do? And I said, well, call the show. We'll put you on some ideals and say, hey, try a guardian angel letter or try working on your chakras. You know, try. And one thing you should do too, I said it three times, take try out of your vocabulary and say, I'm just going to do it. Because I feel like you're setting yourself up for failure when you say, I'm going to try something, because you've already put doubt in. So, and the ideal can't. When you walk into a store now, walk into the store and say, you know something? I would love to have that. And then walk away. Don't put any more into it and say, I can't afford it. Just say, I would love to have that. Because it might freak you out later on when an opportunity comes along and goes, a guy walks up and said, I'm sorry, but you just won this. Congratulations, walks away. You said that I'd love to have. And you might think these things happen, but I've been in situations where guys have actually, this one particular individual was wanting to start a business. He started focusing on a sum of money. Now, what he was trying to do was he was trying to focus on saying, this was what, I would love to have this so I could start this. He really wanted to start a business to really help people, you know. And he thought he had a great service, and he focused on that service. And he did focus, and he acknowledged that he wanted $2,500. Actually, it was $25,000. And he acknowledged that, he said, if I had that sum of money, I knew I could put this together and really have a good start. And about a month later, some guy walked up to him, and this guy said he didn't know who this was, handed him a check for $25,000, and said, the guy said, well, you can't take this, because how can I ever pay you back? And he said, do this, take the money, and then why don't you do me a favor, to pay me back, just be successful. And he walked away, and they never saw each other again. But see, the point is, some of us have a tendency to let our pride stand away. Say, I can't do this. When this is actually what you've been looking for as an answer to your prayer of something you want. Maybe you've been asking for $25,000. I mean, are you really going to snuff some guy who walks up to you and says, here's $25,000? Because this is the answer. And a lot of us, I think a lot of times we have that. We were talking about this yesterday too, Robert. We've all heard this joke where the guy is in a flood, and the waters are coming in. Next thing you know, he's on the second floor. The waters are rushing in. He sees that the boat comes by and says, come on, man, get in the boat. Get in the boat. The guy goes, no, God's going to save me. The next thing he's on the roof. The waters are coming in, the roof. And next thing you know, a kayak or a canoe comes by and says, come on, man, get in here. The guy goes, no, God's going to save me. So he's on the freaking roof and it's about to go under the water. A helicopter shows up. The guy goes, jump on the helicopter, man. Let us save you. And he goes, no, God's going to save me. So the next thing you know, the guy drowns. He's in heaven. He looked at God and said, why didn't you save me? And God goes, what do you mean, why did I save you? He said, heck, I sent you a boat. I sent you a canoe. I sent you a helicopter. What more do you want?
Exactly.
So it's just, I said, you understand that, yeah, miracles happen every day, but you also need to pay attention and say, because I was kind of funny when they were talking about, why is pride a sin? If you think about it, pride has a tendency to keep people from things that they should normally take advantage of. Because it is the answer to prayer. They all say charity. I'm not going to take any charity. And you're like, okay, why not? You know, if you really trace it down to the small little source, maybe we're putting it on a phone booth. That was charity, but it was only 25 cents. But still, it wasn't yours. It was given to you through some kind of source. So you got to look at those little things. You know, don't question the source. This is what you asked for. So learn how
right.
to accept.
I think kind of goes along with, you know, like we were talking earlier tonight, where, you know, when you write that, you know, letter to your guardian angel and you burn it, you know, and let it, you know, rise and let it go, you know, that you let go of the way, the outcome. How is it going to manifest?
Yeah. I mean, if it's simply just washing your hands that helps you do that, then do that. If you don't think that the idea of washing your hands or even doing a guardian angel letter, there's still a way of doing it. So don't give up. It's something that has to be of you coming into your own and saying, okay, this works for me. There's nothing wrong with that. That's how it works. That's how we've all come to these things. And maybe, like I said before, even if we are using the same techniques in a book, we've still come to terms on how we use it. And it works for us. So, you know, that's what we're trying to do here. And the idea of teaching people is saying, hey, you know something? This is what I've done. Now I want to pass it on to you, because I thought it was great. It was fantastic. And I want you to have the same experiences. So, okay, everybody out there, we're going down to 28 minutes. This is Psychic Journeyman. This is Psychic Journeyman Talk Radio, if you want to call in. The number here is 646-721-9031. It's also, like I said, we got 28 minutes. It's 8:31 p.m. here in Ohio, and we're snowing. We're turning white. We're trying to look like those freaking... in your gingerbread house where we got so loud and everything. I don't know if it's really cool or not. It's really cool when you're inside and you're in the heat and you can watch the snow and you know I don't have to go anywhere because I work at home. I think we're all looking at that favorite thing. But I'm just saying with the situation, to recap some things here, call in. If you have any questions about the Guardian Angel letter or you just want to ask a couple questions, the number here is 646-7031. Also, I do private readings with myself. Glad to work with each and every one of you. So if you give me a call at 937-838-6337, I do private readings. And right now we extended our little thing for everybody who calls into the show. If you call in, it's only $10 an hour and $5 an hour for a reading. And we're recommending a lot of things here at the beginning of the year for the past life regressions and the past life readings. It's best to get as many tools as you can and going into this year. And the past life readings are really good because they help you trace back certain issues or certain things that about yourself or certain characteristics or whatever they are back to the source. So you can either, and I think in with some of the people I've been working with, the idea of looking for a solution of cutting loose something, it's best to find the solution because it might not be in this lifetime, it might be in a past life. So it's a good thing to find out. So give me a call. Number here is 937-838-6337 or contact me through my website, which is actually psychic-journeyman.yolasite.com. My co-host, who didn't join us today, and I really want to call her and find out what's happening because it kind of got me worried. She's always here. But if you want to contact her for a reading as well, contact her at 818-200-7431. That number again is 818-200-7431. Or contact her through her website, which is adoredangel.yolasite.com. Or you can come on here and Block Talk Radio. And she also has a show, which is on every night at 8:30, called The Adored Angel Show. So check that out as well, because I think she's a very gifted woman. She's a very she's almost got an angel quality of her own. So check her out. And just some support. This is something new to her, and she's trying out a lot of new stuff. So unless you want to give a call in here and get a couple questions answered, the number here is 646-721-9031. We've been talking about everything. And it's been a really, I call them really fun shows because it's just the idea of throwing it out there and just talking about things. Always touch spirituality in some ways, which is, that's our goal. And we're talking about guardian angel letters. Guardian angel letters are fantastic. So give them a try. It's just simply writing a letter to your guardian angel saying, "Dear guardian angel," if you have a name that pops in your head when you do that, then write that name down. But it's not a, but it's not a necessity. Angels have always told me that names are just something we need to put a title on things, something we can identify with. But it's nothing that they need to, they don't need it. It's just a name that they've given to themselves to help you connect with them. But you just put that down there, put in the context of the letter what you want to do or what kind of outcome you're looking at, or maybe you're focusing on manifesting something. This is a great way to do that, to actually have something to focus on, okay? And it's also a great way of releasing it as well. You write that down, put down at the end of the letter saying thank you in advance, say sincerely, and write your name, and then burn it. There have been so many ways of doing that. Some people say flush it, burn it, tear it up, throw it into the wind. Whatever way is good for you. I'm just saying, for me personally, I just know that when I burn it, if it takes me a while to get that sucker to burn, I start rethinking what I wrote. And then I notice that when I do that, and I write and I burn the letter, it gives me a sign. When it goes up really quick, like a puff, like a magician kind of thing, I feel like that was a good releasement. They got my message, and I should be hearing something very quickly. The only thing I do is I warn you guys, when you do these things, they're very powerful. You will get a result, so be prepared for whatever it is. But also look at it realistically, too. You're looking for an answer. So don't try to question the answers or try to change it or say that you, I've seen people do this. They see signs, they've already made their mind up. Try to take the signs and try to mold them into the decision they've already made instead of looking at what signs are for to help you understand if you're going the right way or the wrong way. So just kind of, you know, be open-minded about what's going to happen, what's going down. If it's not like the answer that you get, it's not the answer that you were hoping for, but it is an answer. Look at that. So in situations like this, Robert, have you ever written a letter like this or anything, any kind of techniques yourself?
Well, I've gone through that kind of, you know, ceremony to release things. Yeah, definitely. And, you know, though I had that kind of laugh because, you know, you were talking a couple of minutes ago about angels and names, you know, and, you know, that's one thing that I often thought about, you know, because, I mean, with a name like Robert, I have had many people call me different, you know, I have Robert. Even have a Bobbert, you know, Robbie. I mean, there's so many different. And personally, to me, it doesn't matter. And I always thought, well, you know, for an angel, it really shouldn't matter. I wouldn't think that an angel would have an ego that it would have to be called a certain name.
That's it.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I hear people ask, well, what's my angel's name? And I noticed that you promote the person listening to themselves, what they think the name is.
Exactly.
Yeah, and to me, it just makes sense, you know, because it's you, the individual, who wants to open the communication. So, you know, if you're not comfortable with Fred, you know, then, then you're not going to talk to Fred, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And I also did the same thing with angels, too. Angels have said this, too, that there is no sex as in angels, but they have a tendency to be discreet with whoever they appear in front of. So I'm pretty sure if you're a girl, more than likely a girl, the angel will materialize in that way because it's something you're familiar with, especially if you're in the shower, you know. Have an angel popping in, you go, okay, you don't care. Unless you're Meg Ryan, and that was a different situation, different movie. But but it was kind of...
Again, another story.
Yeah. But it's just the ideal. Angels are the... It's like, remember one thing on this plane. You are the individual that's here. And these are people to help you. It's one of the reasons that Journeyman was the ideal of helping people on their journey. And it was kind of funny, too, the way it just came out like that. And the next thing I know, that name came on it. Because I actually tried to sign up for a psychic line. And every time we tried to put certain names into the computer as my name to be on that site, it never went until we put that one in.
Wow.
All of a sudden, poof, we got this little sucker going in there. And isn't that kind of funny, you know? So we actually have a couple callers. So let's see what we got going on here. I'm not sure. But just go ahead and find out anyway. So I like surprises. Hello. Area code 408. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Well, you're welcome. And what's your name?
My name is Twee.
Your name is what?
It's Twee. My name is Twee, but I also go by Tiffany.
Destiny?
And no, T. Tiffany.
Oh, Tiffany.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Tiffany. Does it matter which one we call you?
No, it doesn't. Tiffany's good.
Okay. First of all, I want to ask how old you are. You sound like you're very young, but I have a funny feeling you're not.
No, I'm not. I'm 28.
Okay. Well, dear, in my lifetime, that's young. So, you know, you're acting, but she's acting like she acts like she's over the hill. I'm sitting there going, I'm almost like saying I'm quite old. I'm sitting there going, I don't think that way. But I was going to ask you, do you have a couple questions for us?
Yeah. Are you giving readings on the show today?
Well, see, if I'm talking to you, the answer is yes. So you probably tuned in, you're listening to the topics and what's going on, that kind of stuff. But yes, we are. I do that every show where I answer a couple questions for you. So we are, yes, we're doing those readings.
Oh, great.
I'm just saying, I invite everybody. I think the reason we're not getting a lot of calls during the week is because we've actually put two days aside, Fridays and Saturdays, which we do hours of nothing but readings.
Oh, okay.
So don't be confused. Okay. You call in. See, when people call in, if they want to ask some questions about the topics and what we're talking about, that's great. I'm also a psychic, so if you're calling in to ask some questions, I have no problem with that either. So what's your question?
Okay. My question, I want to ask you about a relationship question. There's this particular guy named Anthony, and I wanted to know if you can share with me about insights about his character and if things will turn into a committed relationship.
Transit? Okay. Did you say
transition into?
Okay. I'm just saying, we have an echo, so just bear with me.
Yeah, I heard it too.
It drives me nuts when it happens too, because it's like hitting my brain like a ton of bricks. Okay, I want you to do me a favor and tell me, say your name, the name that you call yourself. Say that real quick. Well, not really quick, I'm just saying, say it.
Okay, it's Twee.
Okay. I'd like to know the story behind that name. I really would.
I'm Vietnamese, so it's a common Vietnamese name.
Okay, that makes sense. Interesting. You almost get the impression that saying that name also gives you the, when I hear it and it resonates, it's almost like saying beautiful person. Okay, so I think someone had that in mind when they said and called you that. It seems like when you have a tendency to resonate with people. Like you really have a lot of positive energy. It seems like people have a tendency to change when they're around you.
Okay.
You like that, huh?
Yeah.
With the situation with relationships, the thing that came to me the quickest was you're asking questions about certain things that you should know. And what I mean by that is you connect the person you're supposed to and you know it, you'll know it. So there are certain things about him when you're asking questions about I can't even say the word. Becoming a relationship transition.
Mm-hmm.
Transition is not a really good thing for me to transition because I'm actually doing some transitions myself. So we try to stay away from the word itself because we're actually in the midst of it. Now, with the situation here with you is you're really focusing a lot on the person, okay? And that's good in a sense if you've done the focus on yourself. And I feel like that's where I'm being directed to point you back to, is to point yourself back to yourself. So therefore you can recognize people that are good for you and people that are not.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the person you're talking about is not.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing I keep getting. It's very strong too. I mean, when I say it, it's like he's not good for you. Now, does this mean he's not a good person? No, that's not what it means. It means for you, he's not a good person. Have you ever noticed that? I've noticed this before, where there's certain people, certain guys, when they get with certain girls, are abusive. But then those girls get confused because he'll be with somebody else, and he's not. And I've seen this. This has been documented, so it actually happened. So the idea of saying abusive man, and I've heard this so many times, it's the same thing with a lot of things. People put there's limitations and say they can never change. Now, what I've read, mm-hmm. the same says 97% of men can change. Okay? Or even if it was the idea of 97% of the men can't change, there's still that 3%. So that 3% gives me hope that the ideal, the person you're looking for, does exist. And people go, what do you mean by that? You're talking about abusive men. Yeah, but see, the point is that 3% is the possible, because people actually put it into good people, and they're actually in a productive relationship. So therefore, why would it not give me the input to say they do exist? And that's what I'm saying with you. You're focusing too much on what someone's going to give you instead of focusing on what you can give yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense to you? Well,
I'm just saying,
if you want to find the relationship that you're really looking for, it starts with you.
Okay.
So it's just one of those things of looking at yourself and say, okay, you know, if there are certain things about yourself that you don't like and you don't work on them, a lot of times you have a tendency to manifest a guy that represents that part that you're not working on, because he comes into your life to tell you, you need to work on this because I'm here to remind you. But if you don't want to do that, that's why I always warn people about soulmates. Soulmates is so loosely used. When most people are actually, when they say, I'm looking for my significant other, that's actually a twin flame. To explain to you what twin flames are real quickly, imagine this. God created an image, and he had this ball, this energy that was so powerful that it couldn't be contained in one body. So therefore, he created a man and a woman and takes the essence and equally puts it in each body. That's why I feel like a lot of us are attracted to certain people, that significant other. It's like when we were sitting there, and we're coming up in February, so I'll give you this one real quick too. The idea of the whole thing about what the heart means on the Valentine's card came to me, and I guess you would say a vision from my angels. The heart has nothing, it does not look like the heart, the human heart. There's no comparison. So what does it mean? What it means is at the top of the heart, where the heart is created, that's where the twin flames are. They're created. Then the loops that go out that make the heart, those are the twin flames going out into the universe. And then at the end, at the bottom where they come together, is where they're always going to wind up. And you have to trust that.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting into a transition I call realizing to actually be up. It's putting a lot more faith to be guided running and chasing after their significant other, because that's how it works. We often help the word of, we all use the word of attraction, but we don't let it use, we don't let it work for us, because we're always chasing. And people don't understand, when you're out there chasing after somebody, that energy is pushing on people. So you're actually pushing people away from you. If you would sit still, stand still, and be in a sense of knowing what you're looking for, which is knowing yourself, you will attract everything you need to you. Of course, you have to do the work yourself of actually recognizing those things when they come to you. And you might have to do your own little part to get to the part where you have to be. Because like I told my friend, when I had my shop, people were like, well, do you really believe that? I said, I'm in a shop. I'm doing my work. When I come here, miracles happen. So I'm in my place. Okay? That's what I'm saying to you. Like, if you're guided to go someplace to meet this person, yes. To meet the person, not to chase after them. That's how it works. We all come together, even in groups. I mean, if you look around, the whole world has a tendency, when they're really passionate about something, you get groups of people who follow those things. Not because they have to, because that's what they're passionately drawn to. So, see, the attraction's always working. So just use it for your own advantage and get to know yourself as well as you can. Did I say that you don't? No, I'm not saying that. For some reason, the information has come across that you should look at yourself. So just take a couple steps back and just look what's going on in your life. Look at the situation. Look at the guy that you're talking about. Is it something you really need or something you should go after? Or is it something that's coming to you? These are signs that tell you if you're in the right track, okay? Because I feel like if I'm sitting here talking to you about this person being the person, then why would I be picking up that in the mid-March that you're going to meet somebody that you're going to be with? Because I don't feel like you're with that person. And I felt that before you even asked the question, that there was something coming to you. And I just, you know, so if there's, this person is totally new. No one you've ever met. And I would say in this lifetime. the person that's with you right now is part of your life. So that's why I say I get these images about him, that he's not good for you. But it's something you have to realize too, right?
Yeah, I realize that too, but I don't know why I'm so drawn to him. Like,
dear, it's like this. I just said to her, I told you that you're a very positive person.
You said because I reflect what I need to work on in other people that I attract to.
That's true, too. But you're also a very positive, beautiful person. Sometimes in the midst of this whole thing, always remember, the darkness is always attracted to the light. You're the light. So there's people that are going to come to you looking for healing and looking for that stuff. Do you have to give it to them? No, you don't. But they're going to still be attracted to you because of who you are. And sometimes in the midst of these things happening, our compassionate parts, we have a tendency to fall down and think this is the person we're supposed to be with. And when it's just that's what I'm saying. You're sitting there focusing. I can feel it. You're focusing on soulmates. So the soulmates are different things. They're learning lessons. So you're attracting people to you that need to learn something about themselves as well. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You change your frequency and say, well, right now in your life, you want to find that significant other, and then you have to focus on that as well. And you'll understand that you can filter through those to find the right person. And I just feel like there's a lot of things still going on with yourself, so I don't feel like there's a person coming in your life until March. That's because the way it's playing itself out. You know, it's like everything's in steps. Okay? Like we talked about the radio show. I'm doing a radio show right now. I feel like I'm going to do a real radio show, but this is real radio too. So this is my transition to where I really want to be at. But I still want to be here doing this as much as I want to as well. That's why I'm saying you need to focus on yourself. Because I'm focusing on myself every day now. Because I've put myself in a certain avenue where I'm constantly doing what I'm doing, which is always reflecting back to me as well. Okay? There are certain times I do readings that go off pretty badly. People didn't take them the right way. Okay? But it's also pointing out to me, you know, maybe there's a more tactful way of doing that next time it comes along, where that person, just be more compassionate with people. I mean, some messages are pretty stern. And I know people are strong enough to take them, but sometimes they don't act that way. So that's what I'm saying. When you look at yourself, sometimes someone says you need to look at yourself. You have a tendency to get defensive because there is something that you need to look at. You're just not ready to look at it yet. But right now, I feel like you are, and you need to do that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because the ideal timing is up to you. Because I see 3 months. I see March, okay? And when I see March, as a very, very positive month for you anyway. But in the ideal of meeting somebody, it could actually be moved up by what you work, by the way you're working with yourself. Because I swear to you, the more you get to know who you are, the more comfortable you are with that, the more you're going to be comfortable in a relationship. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you wouldn't know these things you're asking to me. Because to meet the right person, I know for a fact. I've been this myself before. And I tell people before, you're going to meet people like that, maybe a couple of people. But I think they're like previews to what you're going to find. They help you understand that you knew that person when you met them. You know? You knew what they were all about. Next thing you know, you kind of like are in sync with each other. And maybe it didn't last, but I guarantee you, you're going to find the one it does. And I think you've been through that, might do that yourself before, too. And I just feel like now you're coming to a point, I feel it's with a lot of people, too. 2011 is what you're going to, this is the year you get exactly what you want. So make sure you focus on the positive part of that, okay? Because if you focus on the negative part, it's like being in a vortex. If you're focusing really positive, success happens very quickly and very easily. But if you're focused on negative stuff, everything that's going to happen just as quick. Okay, and we're in a 2011. 11s are very positive energy. Trust me on this one because I've been seeing 11s my whole life. I'm also 11 in numerology, a master number. That's my life path. So take it from a person who is 11, how powerful 11s can be, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And this year, to get exactly what you want, I feel like this man that you have in your life, for one thing I would sit there and look at and say, he's a person you're compromising for. Okay, you're compromising, you're going after what you really want. Because there's a little bit in you that says, I don't think I can do that. I'm telling you can, and you need to do this because the next person that's coming in your life, that's going to be a major relationship. And I can see it up to lasting over 11 years. Funny name, too. It's 2-2-2, okay? That's what you're looking for. Okay.
2-2-2? What's that?
2-2-2 means the ideal of your manifestations. Is peeking through the ground, so don't give up 5 minutes before the miracle happens.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You got a lot of things coming up this year, so just embrace it and accept everyone that comes along, okay? You'll see what I'm saying. If you call me back in 6 months, you're going to be surprised about how things have changed for you that quickly, okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you should think about mm-hmm. getting a past life regression or at least a past life reading, okay?
Okay.
And they're only $10 until the end of February, so you got plenty of time. Alrighty?
Okay. Alrighty, thank you so much for the clarity.
Oh, you're welcome, and thank you for the call. You have a great new year, okay?
You too, have a great new year.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Let's see this caller here. I think this number looks familiar, but I'm not sure. Hello? How are you? Okay. Hello?
Hello? I was just listening. I didn't want to talk.
Okay. No, I just want to make sure. So we'll put you back.
I did talk to you.
You what?
I did talk to you before.
I wasn't sure. I saw the area code, but I wasn't sure about the last part, okay?
So yes,
we'll put you,
okay.
I'll put you right back. Oh, you're welcome. Okay, I just had to check. Well, we're ticking down here. We got 4 minutes left in the show, and I want to thank everybody for being with us today, and thank you, Robert, for being here. It's been a very interesting show. It's been fun.
It's been fun. I've really enjoyed it. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no problem, man. You come back anytime. Just give me a call and say, hey, I'm back. I'm going to be on your show. You're more than welcome. Even if you just want to show up one day, I have no problem with that. I do tell people out there real quickly that we are all working together. There is no such thing as competition. We're here for a reason. We occupy this space for a reason. So if you're thinking someone's taking something from you, that's your own insecurities, and you should think about that. Because, like I tell you before, I don't mention any names on this show. I just have a tendency to say, you know, there are certain things that just bug me sometimes. When people are sitting there saying, I'm very spiritual, I'm very into this, and this, and you're like, you believe them, and you should. But there are some people that have a tendency with some of their insecurities that make you kind of doubt that. And that's why we pointed out to say, you should work on that. Because if you want to be sincere, people look at more of your actions than they do what you say. They really do. And when you are saying something, the more passionate you are about it, the more they're going to listen to you. We were sitting talking about Jesus before, too. And Jesus talked. And I think the reason people listen because it was the truth. And I have so sometimes preachers kind of throw me off. They're jumping across the stage and doing jumping jacks, lifting weights, and that kind of stuff. It's just a point to get you to look. But does it really, you know, if you need to do those things, how much truth is there in what you're saying? I was on the show the other day. A couple weeks ago, getting a reading, and my sincerity on the whole thing was, I like getting readings too. And so there's a lot of shows here on Block Talk Radio, and sometimes I really just want to. Share with everybody. You probably know this, Robert. When I talk to you, I talk a lot.
No.
So I said, I want to go on a show, and just I like meeting people. I love that. You know, I can't wait to talk to people about my passions as much as anything else. So I was sitting there, I went on the show, and I was being sincere. I called away. I said everything's going good for me right now. Things are getting better and better. I just want to find somebody, or you know, is there somebody coming into my life I can actually share it with? And she said, well, let me shuffle the cards. And she shuffled those little cards and did her little thing. I need to get out more. I said, okay, I can sit there and look at that whole thing and say, that's kind of vague. But then again, I said, okay, maybe she's right. So I looked at the thing realistically and said, I do need to get out more. I've been working too much. So then she said, well, you definitely need to get out this weekend, which was the New Year's Eve weekend.
Oh, yeah.
So I told her, I said, well, I can't do that because I actually have a show on Friday and Saturday. And I said, I'm going to be working. And I just kind of nonchalant said, at 6 p.m., you know, I got this show called Psyche Journeyman. I said, so I can't really go out. I said, I could go out after the show's over with, but about 10 times I really don't feel like doing it after a show. So my question was, before I never got a chance to ask, she blasted me and said, I don't appreciate you advertising on my show. And I'm sitting there going, I'm sorry, I was not advertising on your show. I was just stating a fact that this was what's going on. And you're asking me to go out this weekend. I'm telling you why I can't. And she's like, you know you are. I said, okay. Now she's going back on the back at me and saying, you know, that whole thing. So I was like, so I sat there and looked at her and said, you know something? That's too bad. And she goes, what? What's that mean? I said, you really do have a really good show. Thank you. And I just hung up and left. But, you know, it was one of those things. People are actually calling you people for help and cutting them off like that. You know, maybe you should look at the genuine and say, letting your fears manifest. Anyway, we're down to 60 minutes. Sorry, Robert. I just want to tell everybody, thanks, Robert, for being on the show. Thank you for all showing up and listening. And I hope you learned a lot, and hope you take advantage of this guidance. And we will see you tomorrow, and tomorrow is Friday, and we're having nothing but readings all freaking 3 hours, so I hate to use the word freak, I'm working on it. But tomorrow we also have, isn't that great? Hold up. we also have a guest with us tomorrow who's going to be doing readings with us, named Dana Marie. She's a tarot reader, and she has a show here. I think it's actually called Dana Marie. So call in and check her out, and I'm pretty sure you get some questions answered. She's a very talented woman. So join us tomorrow for that. And thank you for everybody. Thank you for the calls, and may God and the angels bless you every minute of every day. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So, Robert, it was really great having you on the show. Your insight was really, really amazing.
Well, thank you for having me again.
Great. And we're about ready to launch that ship. I feel like I work for the space shuttle. But yeah, it was really great having you on the show. Like I said, you're more than welcome to come by anytime.
Great, and, I'll do that.
Anytime you want me to have you on, anytime you want me to come on your show, it'd be great too. It's not a necessity,
okay,
but I just, you know, the idea of working with you was great.
Well, I appreciate that, and I'm sure I'd probably look at that maybe that one day that you have off and see if I ever have something
scheduled
for that.
Yeah, maybe so. So.
Okay.
I have no problem with that, okay? Well, thank
great.
You again. I appreciate it.
Have a good night.
You too.
My legs are cramping.
So if you're all out there, see you all later. You guys have a good night. And we'll see you Friday night for all those readings. Thank you. I'm really looking forward to readings too, guys. So bring it on.